123. Good afternoon. My name is Brian Hoffman. I'm with Election Systems and Software. When you have these presentations that you do to committees, each of the vendors looks and goes, what time slot am I going to get? What time slot am I going to get? The first time slot is pretty good because that's the time slot where the committee's all fresh and they're energetic and they've got their cups of coffee and they go for it. And usually the worst spot is the last spot. So I heard that Hart applied to change the name to the Acme Election Company. I'm not sure if it went through in time, but that was their objective. So we're in the third slot, and hopefully you've all had a nice lunch, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thank you. This button. Okay, I think this is working. Excellent. Oh, I've got my clicker here. Good. All right. I look at the faces here, both in the crowd and up here, and I think we've been here before. About a year and a half ago, we all came, or many of us came, and went through this process again. And at that time, the committee decided that there wasn't necessarily one vendor, one system that met the diversified needs of the counties of Colorado. And today, we want to demonstrate to you that we listened to that, that we made changes from a year and a half ago. Some of the products we were able to bring forward and use in the pilot, some of the efficiencies. We also have some new products that we brought today that we want to talk about, that we can demonstrate when we're going to have those. It's also in our narrative. These products are a result of us listening to the committee a year and a half ago and letting us know, basically, that we had gaps. If we wanted to be a vendor in the state of Colorado, we had gaps in our product line, or we had gaps in some of our work. And so today we want to be able to talk to you about the fact that we've listened, and we want to show that we want to be the vendor, and we believe we should be the vendor for the state of Colorado. As we go through the agenda today, we're going to talk about our experience, because when you go into a statewide system or statewide vendor, experience is important. You've got to know what, you've got to have the experience back there to know that if there's a stumble along the way that you have not experienced, that you've experienced before, and you can handle it. You also want to make sure that you've got the resources. So we're going to talk a little bit about the resources of ES&S. Basically, what we feel is that Colorado has done a fantastic job of developing a unique voting process. In fact, I know that you've had state officials and county officials from throughout the country come and watch what you've been doing, because they're so invested and interested in what Colorado has done with their voting process. And so congratulations to Colorado for getting to be one of the leaders in the country of having the right voting process. We feel that we can complement that voting process with the products that we used in the pilot and the products that we've got moving forward. And so we hope again to demonstrate that today. You're going to find out through this that ES&S is the most comprehensive election company in the world. That's good on a lot of cases, but in a situation like today, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So I apologize in advance for what we're going to go through. We have taken great painstakingly effort to try to keep this as simple as possible for you. So some of the things we might browse over, and of course there's a question period here, so we hope that at that time you take it upon yourselves to ask questions if we've moved too fast. Our whole objective today is to be able to show you why we're the right vendor for Colorado, and to show you how comprehensive our systems is as being that vendor. Basically, what we're going to show you today is that we've got the people, the products, and the processes to be the uniform voting system in the state of Colorado. ES&S, for those of you that may not know, is incorporated or located in Omaha, Nebraska. That's where our corporate headquarters is. We have 450 employees, and of those, about 250 to 275 of them work in our Omaha facility. This is actually a picture of our corporate headquarters. We also have a facility across the parking lot that's a one-level facility where we do our manufacturing, our development, and a lot of those things. So I was just there earlier this week, and I went through it and was pretty impressed. We recently had the EAC come. They toured the facility, and we had great meetings with them. I would encourage any PERC committee member to come out and see us. When you're making a selection like this, you want to know what the vendors got that you're working with. You want to know their resources, and you want to know, is this really a company I want representing the state of Colorado? So we encourage you to come out. It's just a few-hour drive or a very short plane flight over to Omaha. These are the facilities that we've also got located out there. I happen to live in St. Cloud, Minnesota. We have two individuals who reside here in Colorado. We don't have them up on the map. The places on the map are actually physical locations where we have more than 10 staff working out of. And so you can see we've got several throughout the country. If we needed to put one in Colorado for a uniform voting system, we would certainly do that. We want to make sure that we're meeting the needs. And if that's what Colorado feels that we need, we would do that. Currently, we have a field service technician that lives here, and we have Roberta Shoemaker, who is our customer service director, who's also here, and she lives here in Colorado. I wanted to put this picture up, again, to demonstrate the resources that we have. This is not our entire company. In fact, the people up top that are dressed in ties are actually our field service staff throughout the country. That's the only time you'll ever see them in a tie, but they did wear ties for that particular picture. So that's just our field service staff. Below that is just our customer service team. And so those are only two departments from our whole corporate facility. So the question of whether we've got the resources to be able to implement 24 counties in a 3 or 4 month period, hopefully this can answer at least part of that, because we're very confident that we've got the resources to do so. But right now I'm going to turn it over to Dan, and he's going to touch base about the pilots that we conducted here in Colorado.
Thanks, Brian. I'm Dan Clark. I'm the regional, sales manager for the state of Colorado. And it's a pleasure to be here. We appreciate the opportunity. I'll try to keep this brief, because if there's one thing I did learn, that Brian and I, we do like to hear ourselves talk. So I know it's been a long day for you, but we'll make this quick. First, before we dive into Jefferson County and Teller County, which were our two pilot counties, I want to talk to you about our equipment that we demonstrated there. So if you see the screen, the screen is what we call our DS850. This is our digital scan 850 model. This is our high-speed central count unit. This machine was designed with one purpose, to scan a lot of ballots, to read a lot of ballots, and sort at a very high rate of speed. I think it does around 300 ballots per minute, all while doing sorts. So when I say sorts, if you see, look down on the bottom left-hand side, there's three bins that can outstack to. Generally, we have these set for the bottom bin is anything that's been counted and is fine. Middle bin has been counted, but it sorts it if it has a write-in, so you don't have to dig through your stack of ballots at the end of the night to find your write-in. And then at the top is anything with an exception. So maybe it's an overvote, maybe it's a torn ballot, anything that the machine has a question on, that would be sorted to the top bin. But again, this machine was designed to move a lot of ballots very quickly. It's got a touch screen system at the top that walks the users through any situation that they might come into, whether it's starting up the machine, clearing the machine, closing down the machine at all. It's all touch screen with big, bright colors and displays. Next, we have the DS200. You'd also take a look at our DS450 off to the right here. This is a future piece of equipment that we're just in final stages of development for, that Tucker here will be explaining later. But it's got a lot of the same functionality that the DS850 has. This is our DS200. This is our precinct count machine. This is what some of the smaller jurisdictions would use as far as to count their ballots and also to be used in the VSPCs. This machine is also a digital scan unit, so it's taking an image of the front and back of the ballot, of every ballot that goes through it. The images and the results are saved on USB sticks, same as the DS850 itself. I think that covers the DS200. And then lastly, we have our express vote, which you see is the machine over here on the left next to the printer. This is our ADA touchscreen unit. This machine was designed so that the poll workers' lives are very simple. It's got a thermal paper that it prints the ballot on. So the ballot will actually be run through the score system, and a barcode will be written at the top. I'll go into that when we dive into to the counties. Thank you, Brian. But essentially, the voter will have a little half sheet of paper compared to the size of a traditional ballot. We'll put it into the machine. The machine will bring up the touchscreen voting element. You touch the screen, and then it can print out the ballot. So you have a record, a ballot record to fall back on. And then that would either be run through our DS200 at the precinct, or it can be collected and run through a DS850 or a DS450. The unit itself sits in a kiosk, as we call it, designed for to be able to be moved around very easily. It's going to be stored in there. It's going to be charged in there. But it also acts as the privacy booth itself. You see there, you just pop open the lid, and the wings come down, and you have yourself a self-contained privacy booth instead of having to mess with a unit and then a separate ADA unit itself. Point on that. Oh, sorry. Going back to the DS200 and the express vote ballots, these are what we would use at the VSPCs. Okay, these machines were designed specifically for ease of use for the poll worker and for the election officials themselves. The express vote as a ballot marking device, as we have here, which we demonstrated in Jefferson County and in Teller County, on election morning, all your poll workers need to do is come in, unlock it, turn the switch to on, put in the election code, and they're up and voting. There's nothing to rectify. There's no zeros reports that need to be printed. They are up and voting in a matter of 2 to 3 minutes. The same goes with the DS200. We've designed it so it's a self-contained unit. Let me go back. So it's a self-contained unit. You see it's got the lid at the top that you can be locked and sealed. But essentially, when on election morning, all your poll worker has to do is come in, lift open the lid of the machine to the touchscreen, and it automatically turns itself on, prints off any reports that you might need that are pre-programmed in there. And at the end of the night, all you do is there's two buttons. It's a closed polls and a power button. All you do is hit closed polls. It automatically takes you through the process of printing out the reports that you need. Same goes with the express vote. At the end of the night, when you're done with that, since there's no votes are tabulated on it, all you have to do is simply turn it off. Does that make sense? Okay. So again, it's making your poll workers' lives easier, which means Election Central, you get less calls from the frantic people saying, I don't know what happened, what do I need to do? So essentially, our engineers listened, which makes everybody's lives that much simpler. So that's our express vote. So now, the system we're demonstrating today, and that we did, for a pilot program that we demonstrated, is certified, as you can see, with the green dots across the board. These are in use, being used today, so they are ready to go for Colorado. We have no worries whatsoever that we can get you guys up and running by June. Now we're going to dive into a little bit of our counties that we were able to pilot with. Jefferson County, which was lovely, nice enough to join us today. We appreciate that. Jefferson County was our large county. They mailed out 355,000 ballots. They mailed out 355,000 ballots. They had two elections that were essentially going on at the same time. They had the coordinated election and they had the recall election. And everybody knows the political landscape of Jefferson County. A lot of people may have shied away from this, but we truly relished the opportunity to show off our system and what they could do. To dive into that a little bit more, the coordinated election had a UOCAVA mailing date of 45 days out, while the recall election was not going to be certified until 37 days out. So what we did was we talked to them and we showed them what our electionware, our software, which is used to lay out and program the ballots, what it could do for them. It was we were able to produce one ballot for the coordinated election so that they can meet their 45-day mailing mark for UOCAVA, and then create a second ballot for the recall election to meet that mailing date. And then at the same time, so we had two separate ballots that were being mailed out there, but when the regular mailing date came, we were able to consolidate that down to one ballot. All the ballots were run through the system at the same time, no questions asked, no special toggling or anything that they needed to do. That is how robust our system is, and we are very proud of that opportunity to be able to show this, because it was a very contentious, very watched election, let alone very difficult to program on the front side. So in Jefferson County, we had two DS850s, or two of our big central count scanners, 15 DS200s, 46 express votes, 13 ballotars, which is our BOD, which Val will be getting into a little bit later. They programmed their own ballot in our electionware software, and they had 24 of our express vote card printers, is what we call them, our activation card printers. So all of this because they, again, mailed out 355,000 ballots, and they needed to count, I think it was 186,000. So they ran them through our DS850s. At the same time, they had 11 VSPCs. At each VSPC, we had one ballotar system set up to print out a traditional ballot or any replacement ballot that the voter might need. They had two express vote card printers, which connected to your score system. So when a voter walked in, if they wanted to use our express vote ballot, the ballot would be pulled up and the barcode would be issued so that when they walked over to the machine, they inserted it, the correct ballot for that voter came up. And then they had four express votes at each VSPC and one DS200 to tabulate everything. Okay? So that's Jefferson County that we're very proud of, and it was just a lovely experience to partner with you guys, truly, Faye. Teller County was our smaller county that we piloted with. They mailed out 15,000 ballots using our same system that Jefferson County did. Thank you. They mailed out, again, around 15,000 ballots. You can see the scale compared to Jefferson County. They only had 7 DS200 total, 10 express vote, 3 express vote card printers, but they were program your own ballot as well with our electionware software. They had 2 VSPCs, 1 to 2 express votes in each unit, and 1 DS200 to count the VSPCs. But essentially what they did was they used our DS200 machine as their central count tabulator. So they fed those through one at a time. It reads about 10 ballots a minute, and they were able to process them. I think they got out about 10:30 that night, and they were very thrilled with that fact. The other last point I want to point out about Jefferson and Teller using our system, they use the exact same system. Our system is robust enough that it can scale to large counties or to small counties. Jefferson County had a very complicated, contentious election with a lot of eyes on them, and they were able to pick it up in a matter of days, and they feel very comfortable with it. Teller County, you know, was on the other end of that spectrum where they had a small election. They were able to pick it up in a couple of days, lay out their ballot, and feel very comfortable with the system. So it works. You don't have to have a huge IT department or anything like that to be able to use our software. It's very user-friendly, and again, I just can't stress enough how nice it is for the same software to be used in 15,000 registered voters versus 355,000 registered voters. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Val Guyette to talk to you about Ballot on Demand.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Val Guyette, and I am I'm head of the department that handles our Ballot on Demand product, and I'm excited to talk about the Ballotar product we had and the experience, what we did in Jefferson County, the experience they had. So what I hope to do is spend a couple of minutes. I'm going to share with you at first the Ballotar itself. You can see it on the table over there. quite different than the traditional older style systems. We'll talk a little bit about it and how it came into being and how it's being used. And then intertwined into that, how Jefferson County used it, a little bit about their experience, and how it resulted for them. So, Alrighty. So just to go from a background perspective, I've been involved in ballot on demand printing since the original systems were developed back in 2007. And back in those old days, and I think most of you are familiar with ballot on demand systems, they're in use here in Colorado. But on the early introduction of them, the only printers out there that could hold registration and be used were very large, bulky printers. Only thing that was really available. So one, they were very large, and secondly, in order to keep registration, feed trays needed to be designed to mount on them. So while there's a lot of benefit to ballot on demand, there's a lot of savings to it. It was a difficult product to be able to move around, particularly for things like VSBCs or early voting in other states. So what we did at ES&S back about 5 years ago, embarked on a mission to say, how can we make this product better? How can we make it work better for our customers and make it more cost effective? And so we actually worked with Oki Data, who manufactures the original BOD printer, and came up with a product. The original product is actually an off-the-shelf product. It's a C711, but what we did is worked with them and designed a special feed tray for it that would meet the needs of the election community up to 19 inches and would also hold the registration that is there. So as you can see, what we have with the new ballot on demand is a freestanding unit, can sit on a counter, can sit on a cart. It doesn't bind you to have a particular cart to be able to move it around. So what that means for election officials is it's much easier to be able to both use it in your office as well as use it at the VSPCs. As I mentioned, it has the integrated feed tray, so it's a much more compact system. And again, you don't have to worry about an alignment issue with this printer. In the original 9650s that are out there, those were wide body printers. What that means is they could print wider than 8.5, and so things could skew as it moved through it. This printer is specifically limited to 8.5 inches, which means it's not going to skew. Once the system is set up and printing, you're not going to have to worry about skew issues and worry about whether or not these are going to read or scan on the system.
Excuse me just a sec.
Yes.
This is Dwight Shulman from the Secretary of State's office. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm afraid we won't come back to this. Can you explain in the context of ballot on demand what you mean by registration? I'm not sure I understand the meaning of the term.
Sure. Great. Thanks for the question. Basically, scanning systems have a level of tolerance in regards to the image that's put on the paper. And so each vendor has a different level of tolerance, but there's a certain amount that it can shift right or left or up or down. So within this printer, it will keep registration. It will keep that image within 2 millimeters, right, left, up, or down. And what that means is that when you go to tabulate these ballots, you're not going to have to worry about misscans or no reads because they may be out of tabulation. Most printers, it is rare to have a printer that can hold that kind of registration. Most off the shelf would never hold the kind of tolerance that's needed for most scanners that are out there. So thanks for the question. So really what you have here is a system that provides all the same kind of functionality as the older, larger systems. It does 19-inch ballots. It has the same production speed. This can be used for VSPCs. It can also be used for batch ballots for doing the mailouts. We use this for ballot duplication as well, for UOCAVA ballots and online marking. So it has the full range of capabilities, but it is something that's a lot smaller and, quite frankly, a whole lot less expensive. And where that comes into play is as you are implementing this with VSPCs, it's expensive to try and put a lot of these out there. In fact, in the case of Jefferson County, they had some BOD printers, but not enough for all the sites. Having a small, inexpensive printer, we think, makes a good scenario for the counties to be able to put this in there, save the money of not having to pre-print ballots and then throw them away at the end of the election from the VSPCs. So that's the printer itself. So mechanically and physically, again, quite a bit different, but all the same feature set. A little bit about how it was used in Jefferson County and some of the feedback there. Don't know how well you can see this, but in this particular case, Jefferson County has a cart that has all of their VSPC components to it and supplies and such. And because of the size of this, we were actually able to fit this in that cart along with the laptop. It was all plugged in and connected before it ever left Election Central. So when they got out to a VSPC, all they had to do was plug that main power cord in and connect the network cord, and they were up and running on their VOD. So it's not that everybody will use this in their own cart, but you're able to do that. There's also a couple other scenarios that our, some of our other customers use. We actually have, we call it a compact travel case. You can see it here. Basically, the printer sits inside it. This case allows you to store it when you're not using it in shelves. It's very, you know, one of the things with printers is it's difficult to find places or it takes up a lot of space. This is very compact. You can put it on a shelf. You roll it out to a site, and basically that case becomes your stand. The printer is, the laptop is actually in the drawer itself, so you can secure it at night. So it's very quick to set up. So these types of cases are typically used if you're delivering in like a box truck environment where you've got a carrier that's bringing them out. Another scenario is what we call our compact travel case. We have one, our compact cart. We have one in the back, but some counties, a lot of our customers, will put these out in the back of a minivan, or they'll have a smaller vehicle that they'll use to transport. And basically this can transport the printer out there, and it actually the top actually rolls off and rolls into the back of a minivan or anything with a hatchback to be able to deliver it. So I think the key with this is with this product, it's a very good fit for the VSPCs. One of the things that we heard from the counties was the folks at the site really liked it. It was less intimidating. It was easier to use. We had this in 10 VSPCs in the main office. Now, granted, we didn't print thousands and thousands of ballots, but during that time, during the entire election and all the different sites, we had one jam across all the printers. So it's, I think that's key. Again, these products have a tremendous amount of value and cost savings because you've got to be able to provide ballots for folks when they're out there, but it's very costly to have all those ballots printed. This gives you a cost-effective way to do that. The other thing I'll talk about just real quickly is the software, and I think the key with this product and the key in your world when it comes to VSPCs and the printing is ease of use. This was actually set up, again, to where when the poll workers came in and they powered up, it would automatically log into their system and automatically bring up our application, and it was ready to run. So it's an unattended operation. The poll workers never had to go over to the laptop. In fact, we could keep the laptop closed all day, and they could just run from their score system. So they really only needed to be trained on the score system to be able to run. And they could either request ballots through score, automatically print them, or if they needed to request a ballot for a new registration that came in or that wasn't in score, they could do that from their desktop as well. We have a small application where they just keyed in the style that they needed. So we tried to make it very simple for them to use, but it's also very secure. We encrypt the PDFs in this, so if for some reason a laptop gets stolen or taken, there's always questions about how do we know the security of it. You cannot print a PDF from the system unless it's done through the automated method of either through SCORE or through our application. So we try to balance ease of use and security. The other thing I think that worked out real well is a nice little reporting package. We basically had an icon on the desktop. At the end of the day, the user went over, double-clicked on it, it automatically generated a report for the ballots that they wanted that day. So we can create customized reports based on the kind of tracking, the kind of accounting that you may want to do, and it's a very flexible system to be able to do that. So, again, we're very proud of the election that we had at Jefferson County. Again, I think by all accounts and the feedback that we had, it was a very successful election for them. For the poll workers, and we think this would be something that makes a lot of sense for the state of Colorado, for counties, whether they're large or small. Great. Thank you.
Okay, moving along, one of the things that that was asked in the supplemental letter that we received was to talk about the differences that your company offers. What differentiates yourself from the other vendors? And that's what we're going to kind of do here, is we're going to kind of give you our view of elections and why we go down certain paths that we're going down. It comes from Tom Burt, who this January had previously been president, and he became also our CEO, so president and CEO. And it's the middle part of his quote that kind of rings true. And it's our goal as ESNS to provide you customized service that is designed to ensure that your specific needs are met. And that's how we feel about every county. As was alluded to earlier, we use the same system in Jefferson County that we used in Teller County. Our system is very, very configurable to the specific needs. And, you know, later when I expect some questions regarding pricing comes up, you're going to see that, because the way we had to price it was the fact to say a Tier 3 county may want a DS-850. You know, we've sold them to smaller counties, but they may not. And a Tier 1.4 county may want DS-200s in the precincts. So we've got we had to put pricing together that kind of allowed somebody to go, well, I'm in Tier 2, but I want the Tier 1.2 package. And that's what we're able to offer because our systems are so configurable. I also wanted to point out this, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier that we heard a year and a half ago from the committee here in Colorado, and it's what's in yellow there. We continually evolve to meet the needs of our customers and to lead technology's ever-changing environment. Our objective here, as Colorado looks to potentially go to a uniform voting system that isn't necessarily purchased on a particular date, but rather, the counties may have opportunity to purchase this system over the next 3, 4, or 5 years. Well, we know that elections change. 10 years ago, the Colorado voters did not vote through mail elections. They voted in precincts. And lo and behold, you know, 10 years later, we've got, you know, 95% of the voters using mail ballots. We don't know where elections necessarily are going to be 10 years from now, maybe not even 5 years from now. But it's our objective to make sure that we're evolving along with technology, voter habits, and new election laws. And that's, again, what you're going to see, is we're going to continue to configure our systems to the needs of the particular county that's looking to purchase. And so perhaps a county purchases a system in January and they want to use it in June, and perhaps a county decides that I don't have it in my budget and I want to purchase 5 years from now. It may not be the same system, but from ESNS, it's going to be their ability to use the same software and then pick and choose the products that we've developed that enhance through that same version. So one of the things that differentiates us from our competition is purpose-built equipment. You're going to see that for the most part, DS-450, DS-850, DS-200, ExpressVote, they've all been designed by ESNS as purpose-built. They've been built to conduct elections. That's what they've been done. We feel that in a certified world where you've got to go through a certified process, that purpose-built equipment is the right way to go. Because, sure, you could use a pocket knife like that to be able to cut coupons out of a newspaper, but the bigger scissors is going to do a better job, without a doubt. And that's kind of the mentality work we take, particularly in the certified world. As Val spoke to earlier, when it comes to a BOD system or even our poll book offering, we've gone down the COTS road because we feel in the uncertified world, that's the right fit for those particular products. One of the things about purpose-built equipment is the sustainability of the equipment. Again, you know, I don't think Colorado necessarily wants to be coming back, particularly the counties, in 5 or 6 years and saying, do I need to buy a new system? Do I need to go to the commissioners and ask for a new system? I'm sure Dwight doesn't want to go through this process again in 5 or 6 years, for sure. So we build our products with the idea that a customer wants 15 years out of the products. That's about where we're getting to now with a system that was previously purchased under HAVA. We try to develop equipment that can last 20 years or more. And we do that by being able to take kind of the core system, and we're going to talk about that with the DS-450 or even the DS-200. The DS-200, while we've got 25,000 of them out there in the marketplace right now, it's got new insides. We took new insides and put brand new equipment into the middle of that DS-200 and took it back through certification. So for all intents and purposes, we are able to build a new unit, but guess what? It works along. So if somebody's got to add on equipment that bought the unit 7 years ago or 6 years ago, that DS-200 works right alongside with the ones that they've already got. Thank you. And then finally, this is just a little chart to say, you know what? We know Hello? Okay. We know there's some positive things with the COTS hardware. It's definitely a lower cost for an initial purchase to move into it. But we feel, and we've gone through this, trust me, we've gone through this over and over again. Every time we look at developing new equipment, should we continue down the line of purpose-built or should we go COTS? So far, when it comes to tabulation and equipment that's got to go through the certification process, we've decided to stick with the purpose-built hardware. Okay. The other thing that was talked about here was please discuss planned improvements and enhancements. And, oh, boy, do we have a lot of those to talk about. So I've got Tucker O'Mell here to discuss those.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Good afternoon. My name is Tucker O'Mell. I'm a solutions engineer for ES&S, and I am going to talk to you about the roadmap for our products, where we are taking our product lines in the near future. This slide here is to emphasize the constant reinvestment we are placing in our product line. We are never resting on our laurels. We are always enhancing and making our products better, primarily based upon customer feedback, especially from customers in Colorado. There's some things up here that we built specifically at the request of our Colorado customers. Currently approved for use in Colorado's EVS 5203. You can see on the left-hand side there, EVS 5210. This is a subsequent release that is hot on its heels. It is on its way. It has completed testing at the federal level, and they are now finishing the test report for EVS 5210. And I'm not going to go through all the enhancements up here, but you can kind of see some of the things that are coming. For example, in 5210, the DS200 will have the ability to print a tape at the end of the night where every write-in, the actual physical handwriting of the write-in, this net snippet, it can be printed on the tape. That tape prints automatically after the DS200 has printed its results tape. We also have the Express Vote kiosk coming in 5210, the rolling kiosk that was mentioned earlier. I will not go into detail because somebody else did, but the Express Vote kiosk is part of 5210. But right on its heels is EVS 5400, which is also in federal certification. So 5210's at the tail end. Right on its heels is 5400 coming in, and we've got some really neat things in that for Colorado, primarily the one in the middle. In our Jefferson pilot, it was taking a couple of hours to take the images, the ballot images, and transport those into the reporting software. Now, this the results went over in about a minute, but the images, end of the night process, took about 2 hours. In EVS 5400, you will see a 60 to 90% improvement upon that. And I know our friends in Jefferson County, Gary, will be pleased with that, won't he? But that's the beginning stages of federal certification. We anticipated it coming out of federal certification in the middle of the year and available to Colorado immediately. After that, right on its heels again is 1,000. We are actively building this release as we speak. There's actually folks back in Omaha right now with fingers on keyboards, furiously pounding away and building this. In EVS 6.0, you will get all results collection and reporting will be entirely in ElectionWare. ElectionWare is our election management software application. It will truly be one-stop shopping. Everything you do to build, run, and tabulate your election, to accumulate all the results, will be conducted inside of ElectionWare. Also coming is the DS450, and I'm actually going to jump ahead to the next slide here. Oh, actually, one ahead. I'll get there in a second. To emphasize our reinvestment and in our steadfast adherence to certification and following the federal standards, this is a snapshot of the EAC's website taken this week. There are a lot of vendors in this industry. Right now, there are three releases in federal certification. There are a lot of vendors. Of the three releases, two of them are from one vendor, ES&S. Let's talk about the DS450. This is coming in EVS 6.0, again, being developed right now and available to Colorado. Actually, the 450 is going to be done in February, so it's going to be available pretty soon. I'm going to go mobile, so whoever's operating the camera, they told me if I did this, I needed to give you a warning. This is the DS450. It is exactly like the DS850 in its operation. In fact, a lot of the foundational code is exactly the same. This actually constitutes the world premiere, if you will, of the DS450. This is the first time that anyone outside of our organization has seen it. It will operate exactly like the DS850. The screens will be basically the same, but this is a mid-tier solution for lower and middle-sized counties that the 850 may just be a little bit too much for. You know, I don't need a very large device when I only have maybe 8,000 account. The DS450 fits that model perfectly. Ballots are loaded here. They go through the C curve and are immediately sorted into one of these three bins, and they're completely configurable in the software. For example, you can put all regularly counted bins in the middle. All write-ins go sorted here, and then perhaps you want to outstack overvotes and any other kind of ballots, they go to the top bin. It does this without stopping, so your efficiency and throughput is tremendous. It also, just like the DS850, imprints every single ballot with a serial number, which we will get into a little bit later regarding risk limit audit, but that allows you to identify every ballot, the physical ballot, at the end when you're trying to track that ballot through the system and find that image. It's very, very easy because this device and the 850 imprint the ballot with a serial number. Also coming in EVS 6.0 is online adjudication. We've already designed this. We are actively working on it. We would love Colorado feedback. Jefferson gave us some great feedback when we were there, for the last week's election. I actually was fortunate enough to support that election. It's very simple in its concept, but very, very powerful in its effect. An operator will operate the DS450 or the 850, and when they're done scanning a batch, they save that batch. In Jefferson County, they were saving 1,400 ballots per batch. Immediately upon save, that batch, you can see on the left-hand side of the screen there, any available batch that has completed scanning is available in the software application, where your electionware operators can be sitting at adjudication workstations. They take possession of the batch, and all the ballots that require review are immediately lined up for them. You can see this one has 1 out of 4 available. You get to decide, based on rules that you set, which ballots require review. Are they just strange marks? Is it somebody wrote in a candidate name but did not fill in the oval? You get to base the available images for review on your own rules. The ballots are available in turn. It walks you through each contest, maintaining focus in the ballot image on the contest in question. After the adjudication is performed, you provide a comment of why that ballot was adjudicated exactly that way, save the ballot, repeat that process through all the ballots, and then save the batch. Risk-limiting audits. We applaud Colorado's adoption of risk-limiting audits. We believe it provides extreme traceability and transparency for your election. We believe that we have the best system for Colorado to implement a thorough risk-limiting audit scenario. Because, as I said, the DS450 and the DS850 imprint an individual sequential serial number on every single ballot. So at the end of the process, when it's time to perform your risk-limiting audit, you randomly select a ballot, you have that physical piece of paper in your hand. Go to the software in the produce module of electionware. The operator simply types in the serial number of that ballot image. That image comes immediately on the screen, front and back, and the cast vote record is there too. So all three items you need to perform a risk-limiting audit are immediately available. I mean, this process could take as little as a minute to identify and find that image. All right. Also here, Dan spoke a little bit about the express vote as it was used in our two pilot counties. That was primarily for ballot marking device purposes. In other words, folks conduct a voting session on the express vote. Their activation card is printed with all of their results, all of their selections on the activation card, and then it's fed into the DS200 or the 850 or 450 for tabulation. What if you didn't need any of those tabulation devices? That is what we are doing to the express vote right now. We are converting it into a tabulator as well. So an individual conducts their voting session in privacy on the touchscreen or using the audio cues. And once that is completed, they are given a summary screen and they can verify their choices. And then they press the button for cast ballot. And the ballot is ejected out the back of the unit into the private chute out the back. It's locked and very secure. And the express vote does the tabulation itself. So no need for an in-precinct or central scanner in that situation. That enhancement is a part of EVS 5.4, the release that is currently in federal certification testing. And finally, we're not going to dive into these, but just know, Brian said at the beginning that we have a lot to show you. But in order to save time, I'm just going to really quickly point out that if you need solutions for UOCAVA, post-election review, as well as election night reporting on your website, we have solutions built and available at this time. Turning it back over to Brian. Thank you.
Thanks, Tucker. Okay, to wrap up here, very comprehensive voting company. We've got a lot of products. We're very proud of them. We've not even shown you all of the products we have because we thought we'd get almost overly confusing. To wrap things up, we want to talk about the number of statewide installations that we currently have. We're counting it at 13 right now. We've got some installations where we've installed just the disability device, and we didn't count that up here. Arkansas, we actually have a contract in-house, and we'll start implementation of that very soon. But this should demonstrate the capability that we have to do statewide installs, whether it be a partial state install at one point or a full install all at once. We are very capable and are very experienced in doing that. Again, wrapping up our presentation, we feel that we've got the people, the products, and the processes. 450 dedicated employees or plus. We've got purpose-built equipment that we control. We control the parts. We control the certification process. We can control everything in regards to those. And we're continually evolving and enhancing. And if we start implementing in Colorado and there's another need out there, I can guarantee you we're going to listen, we're going to develop it, and we're going to get it to the customer as quickly as possible. We want to thank you for the opportunity to present today, and now we will start taking questions.
Committee members. Teek.
Hi, Teek Simonton. Couple of questions. You've indicated that the update is at 6,000 or 60.00, whatever it is, won't be ready for next year for counties that want to get new systems in 2016 for the election cycle upcoming?
Well, and it's a difficult question that we had to answer in here because Colorado doesn't require federal certification. And whenever we respond to questions like that, our people are thinking federal certification. And so I think this is in our narrative, and I apologize. We got that narrative sent out while I was on a plane, so I was not able to necessarily go through it as tightly as I could. My understanding is that we're going to have the DS-450 we should have everything ready to roll at the end of this year, but then we want to do an extensive testing on our own in hopes that that would be ready for a Colorado certification sometime February, early March, in that time frame. The adjudication portion of 6.0, which again we can separate it because Colorado doesn't require federal certification, we expect that not to be done until August. So that aspect of it would have to be incorporated after the June election. So again, we've got different moving parts. You almost have to ask, okay, from a Colorado standpoint, when is this piece of 6.0 ready and when is this piece of 6.0 ready?
Yeah, that's a big concern because you've got a lot of counties like Eagle County with 27,000 voters in which the 200 is wholly insufficient.
Right.
And the other one is well out of the ballpark. So
yeah. The DS-200 is too slow is what you're saying, and the DS-850 is too powerful. In situations like that, we've talked about this back home. These are, again, some things that I don't believe made it into pricing. We tried to make it as easy to understand as possible. We would definitely, and we've done this before, not be opposed to saying, okay, let's install a DS-850 to meet your needs until the DS-450 is ready, and then we'll swap it out.
Okay, good solution. And then I was in Jeffco at one point when they were actually counting ballots, and I witnessed some jams. And so I'm curious, was it just a poltergeist while I was there, or how many ballots actually had to be remarked to the degree that they were jammed and damaged?
Yeah, good question. And I actually thought you might ask that question because I was standing behind you when I saw it. And to kind of describe the scenario, at that time, Jefferson County was running two machines, and the one that Gary was operating was It was jamming constantly. And of course, the one that was not being positioned over here, and you saw it, that one was just running as good as could be. And it's just kind of one of those Murphy's Law things. I don't think, Teak, that any ballots had to be remade. And I don't think any of them got damaged to the point that they had to be remade. They were able to always take those ballots and feed them back. And I talked to Gary, the next morning. I came in and he's like, oh, this thing is working great. I'm like, what'd you do? He says, like any machine, I went in and I made little adjustments. And he made them. He didn't need a service technician. He was the operator. He went in and made them. And the next day, it was working well. It was one of those things where, when you've got a PERC individual there, you don't necessarily want to go in and make your tweaks to the system, and you don't necessarily want to do it when you're in the middle of running batches either. You kind of tough it through, and then at the end of the day, that's when you address it.
One other question. I looked through the pricing. I didn't see any pricing for the Ballotar, and so maybe it's there and it's just very tiny font, but the question is, would a county have to purchase that in order to print ballots in-house, or could we use another, currently owned printer like the Oki Datas that we all have?
I'm going to speak for Val here. Jefferson County's got Runback, the BOD, and they're currently printing ballots for our system, and the same could continue. Absolutely.
Jennifer and then Donetta.
Hi, Jennifer Levin. I just had a couple of questions about the accessibility of the machines. We did make it to Jefferson County and tested one of your machines there. And one of the issues my tester had was not being able to increase the font enough so he could see. Have y'all been able to address that?
He had the ability to increase the font one size, correct?
Yeah.
And that size wasn't quite enough.
Right.
Yeah. Right now, sometimes when we face these things, we meet the standards and don't necessarily exceed those standards. So at this point, we're at the point of just meeting the standards. And unfortunately, in a situation like that, he might have to go to the audio for now. Yeah. Yep. And did he try the contrast aspect of it?
No.
Would that have helped? I don't know. Sometimes that helps too.
It may have. He was not. This was the first time he'd ever used a machine. He was a little older, so.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. And we've got the express vote already out in several counties, large and small. Again, scalable, and we've not had a lot of negative feedback. And sometimes it's just like, okay, I understand now the second time, or it's some voter outreach that needs to be done. And we definitely work with counties on voter outreach all the time. Oftentimes, the voter outreach will come, the first time it's pretty easy. They set up systems in their offices, or they take them out to nursing homes or what have you. But oftentimes, the voter outreach comes after the first election, and they get that feedback. And we go, okay, let's start educating people on what we can do, like with the contrast, to perhaps address that.
Okay, and that was another question about voter outreach. So there will be a focus on that.
Yeah, in all of our statewide implementations, that's a huge portion of it. Very large portion of it.
Hello, you have been conducting a meeting for a long period of time. If you need to continue meeting, press 1 now. If not, I'll end the meeting.
Ain't technology grand?
Okay, so we can keep going.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Another concern is the size of the machine. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like it might be a little difficult for someone to maneuver in order to be able to see it if they were, say, in a wheelchair, like to be able to move it down.
I'm going to do two things on that. I'm going to send Dan over to demonstrate that what we built with the express vote is specifically designed not to say if someone has disability capabilities, they have to go to that machine. Mm-hmm. Because what this is able to do by poll workers is simply set down, and then a wheelchair is able to roll right up to it. So any machine, they don't have to, if there's more than one out there, they don't have to wait for it.
Okay, so it would require the assistance of a poll worker to move it.
Well, either way, or they could have one set up that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could have.
Wait, hold on, microphone. No one can hear you.
Sorry, in Jefferson, so they had four express votes. Three of them were set at the normal height, and then one was set down for the wheelchair. So that's how they got around that. So any voter with a wheelchair could roll up there without any needed assistance.
Okay. And my other question about assistance is, and you may have addressed it with that newer machine that y'all were talking about, the ES500 or something, ES5?
EVS5. Oh, okay, one of the versions?
Yeah, it's coming down the road.
Yep.
So if a voter wants to drop their ballot, would they need, say they have vision impairment, would they need the assistance of a judge to do that, or does it somehow do it for them?
Okay, so yep, you're right. The EVS, this one here that we brought, and it looks exactly the same, that will be as a tabulator, and that's in the EVS 5.4 version that's already in certification. And that particular version, the voter will be able to have their ballot tabulated without having to grab anything.
Okay.
Or go anywhere with it. It's going to be right there. And then at the end of the night, the thumb drive is brought back and put into the ERM, election night reporting system, and tabulated. If I may, Jennifer, I want to point out one other thing. When you look on the screen up here, the express vote is the white item on the left, all right?
Okay.
And so Dan didn't mention this, but that's the express vote, and that also could be set just on a standard table or on a particular ADA design table, okay? It can be put into a booth. We've designed booths so that maybe if a small county doesn't have the ability to transport the kiosk, they can transport the express vote and have the express vote put into a booth out at the VSPC, or it can be in a kiosk. So you've got different options for how the express vote is actually set up at the VSPC.
Okay, and then it looks like do you have toggles available with the tactile?
Yes, yep. Okay. There's a handset, and I'll have, again, my Vanna White go over and grab the toggle.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yep, it's located right there.
Thank you. That's all my questions.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer.
Donetta and then Chuck.
Hi, Brian. Donetta Davidson. My question is with the DS200 that you're utilizing in the small counties. Teller had it in their county, correct?
Yep, they did.
And it scans the ballot, I understand. And I understand there was a problem with it, and I wondered if you're working on the software because it scrambles the ballots, and we're on risk-limiting audit. That machine is not going to work. They're going to have to do something completely different.
Yep, you're exactly right, and we are. It's not an easy fix, or it's an easy fix.
Yeah, it's actually an easy fix. A few years ago with the DS200, we added code. Upon poll closing, it randomizes all the images and gives every single one the exact same time date stamp. So there's no way to trace back the order of voter registration, the order they signed in the poll book and trace that back to the order of the ballots in the ballot bin. For Colorado and EVS60, we could easily remove that protection, tie it just to the Colorado state code, so it's unlocked for Colorado, but everybody else enjoys the protection of the randomization.
Okay, thank you. I got one more question on that then, kind of for one of the other systems that was asked. Because of that different type of a ballot, it's a small ballot that comes out of that DS200. If there's just a few people that vote in that, you know, maybe two people voted on that machine, and, you know, like you said, that you had in your county, in Eagle County, then secrecy of that ballot, do they have to duplicate that ballot when it goes back? Or with you counting it within the precinct, will that solve the problem?
Right. So the two ways would be is that you're going to feed it into a DS200, and it's going to drop into the ballot box with all of the other ballots, and then it's tabulated. And those ballots then are just stuck away, right, and then stored. And then the results are brought in. The other way is that if you don't have a tabulator out there, then the express vote ballot would be put into a ballot box and then brought back and then fed through the central count system back at Election Central.
But does it, when you scan that ballot, does it look the same, you know, when you scanned it on the big machine?
On the digital? If you're...
Yes. I'm worried image. About secrecy. If there's only a couple people that voted in a small county, that secrecy of that ballot, would you duplicate that ballot so that you you maintain that secrecy of the voters?
Yeah. This is what we're doing in Minnesota. And I guess I would leave it to the county's discretion. They're gonna know if that's an instance. What Minnesota is doing, and I know they're a different state because they're not a mail state, but what they're doing is they're asking their poll workers to all vote on the express vote when they cast their vote. If that's the VSPC that they work in, then can you please all use that express vote during the day to cast your vote? That eliminates the need. That's what Minnesota is doing. And so in Colorado, you've got that option of how the county would want to handle that. Does that answer the question? Or I don't know if you're asking in the context of risk limiting audit or if you're asking in the context of privacy.
Here, I'll clarify. I think that it's most specifically to try to not differentiate a ballot from it being cast in a smaller ballot size versus a standard
Correct.
Ballot.
Correct. Yep. And that's how Minnesota is dealing with it, is they're asking their poll workers to go ahead and use it, and then they've got multiple ballots of that size out there. And so, that's how they're working with it. Yeah, it could be duplicated. If there's one, you can bring that back and have it duplicated. Okay.
Chuck Broerman, El Paso County. With respect to UACABA voters, military and overseas voters that choose to transmit their ballot electronically, expand a little bit on your application for that, what additional security you have over current mode, encryption, and the like.
This is on ballot online. Okay, I might turn to my technical. No, okay, ballot online is. You probably may have stumped me right there.
I'll let you speak about the security aspect of it.
Ballot online is our UACABA solution, where we allow counties to electronically transmit a ballot to an overseas voter. They are independently provided independent information via mail or whatnot, login information, login credentials. They establish their own password, log in, conduct their voting session online, and then they have two options, one of which is primarily used, which is they print out a packet with their affidavit and their vote selection and all that information and mail that back into the county. So the transmission to the voter is much faster because the mail is not going both ways. We have also developed, and we're actually working with a couple of states now, but we're not actively using it yet, which is secure electronic return, where the voter actually conducts the voting session online and sends their selections back to the state electronically rather than printing out a mailed in ballot.
Is that encrypted, or how is that secure?
Yes, it's encrypted. It uses the same encryption algorithms that, for example, banking software uses. 128-bit encryption, I do believe, is what it is. And there's two-part authentication for if you forget your password and whatnot. It's much like with online applications now. If you forget your password, they quite often send you a text message or contact you via your email address. That's the kind of security and authentication that we've put into the ballot online application.
And then on your scanners, your 450 and 850, are they backwards compatible to support any of your legacy software like GEMS and the like?
They are. They are compatible with Unity, the old Unity software application that's widely used around the country. For example, Unity 3410, there's another version number for you guys to try to remember. But in versions 3400 and 3410, we certified all of our legacy products with our old legacy software, as well as our new product solutions, our new tabulators, the 200 and the 850, and the old tabulators like the M100 and the M650, as well as the Automark, Ivotronic. I'm rolling off a lot of products, but yes, they do have some backwards compatibility with our old legacy solutions.
Steve?
I'm gonna clarify for you, Chuck, just one thing. It's not backward compatible with our Premier software because the GEMS software, because that was something that we purchased, and as we worked through it, the DOJ took away our ability to backward compatible with your particular system.
Steve Moreno. Brian, I know you've touched on the company having 450 employees, and you know that's going to touch a little bit on the support. And the question I want to really ask, I know you've in 13 states right now currently, and to kind of maybe share with us the experiences you have with, of the states that you're in. Are they a number of the precincts or the counties that you're in there right now? How long you've been in there, and how do you plan in Colorado if awarded this here to implement in the state here of Colorado with the 24, if all 64 counties wanted to implement with training and other issues?
Yeah, that's a great question. We were thankful that we got a little bit of extra time to write the project plans for that. I think they're due December 1st, and so we've got people working on that. But what's great about our experiences is that we've literally got, you know, people who have done this before taking those project plans and then converting them to what's going to work in Colorado. What's going to be, again, I'm fairly confident it will be a little bit different, is that the configurations in Colorado could be different because we've got the different tiers. And so Jefferson County may say, well, I want the 850, and that's what I'm going to stick with. And Eagle County may say, well, that's too big for me. I want the 450. So that may change our project plan a little bit more, but it's going to be consistent with what we've done in the past. We'll put together the same true and tried processes that we've done in the past. I'll go ahead. You want to say something, Dan?
Yeah. Okay. With this new system, the learning curve on it is very, very short. As far as the hardware goes, I mean, the express vote, it would take about an hour to learn. 2 hours is what we usually program for or a lot for, so it's an hour of playing around with it while we're there. The DS-850 can be done in a morning. I think with Jefferson County, we did about 3, maybe 4 hours, and that's just a lot of what-if scenarios to make sure they're completely comfortable with it. Same with the 450. The DS-200 will be done in a matter of hours. I mean, truly, when we put together our project plan for this, or in the pricing, the training, no matter what type you have a configuration, it should take 1, maybe 2 days at the max, and you're up and running. Software will take a little bit more longer. Usually that's 3 to 5 days, depending on how quickly you pick it up. But essentially, you're going to be up and running in a matter of days. So, you know, as far as the level of support goes, you know, when you're up and running, that takes a lot of the lion's share off of it. But, you know, like we said, we have resources in the state now, and you know, should we be awarded the RFP, we will definitely beef up our presence in the state of Colorado.
Donetta.
Thank you. This is Donetta. To follow up on that, I know that you've just sold to Maryland, and you said Alabama.
Arkansas, excuse me.
Is that the same system that you're presenting here today? And then the second part of that question is, with being in those states and doing that, is that going to take away from Colorado and the support we would need?
No. I'll backward answer and answer the second question is no, it's not going to pull away. It's a little bit funnier question because I manage the western third of the United States for ESNS, and Dan's my regional sales manager here. He's one of 20 regional sales manager, and Jake Johnson, who handled the Colorado pilots, he handled both pilots on his own. He has 3 states, and so he would be 100% focused. And Roberta, what I'm saying is that we've got the resources in the western third of the United States alone that we would bring them in here, and it wouldn't miss a beat in Arkansas, who's a central state, and it wouldn't miss a beat in Maryland, who's an East Coast state, because we do regional implementations, and we're built up enough in that particular part of the country to be able to use those resources and not put a drain on resources elsewhere. And then the other thing is, of course, do you have the equipment? And we do. We've been anticipating a big 2016 and 2017. And at a recent management meeting, I learned that we have put millions and millions more. We've not invested more in equipment going into 2016 since we did in 2005, going into 2006 for HAVA.
Okay. Sorry, we just hope then you don't sell to California.
as much as I would love to sell to California, we're not certified there yet, so we don't have to worry about that.
And Donetta, real quick, just to add to that, let alone all the people we have out in the field. Back in Omaha, we have a fully supported hardware and software support system or department. They're answering the phone, 7 till 7, I think, at night. Around the year, and then 24/7 come election. But those are people dedicated to picking up the phone, answering any question that any county might have, whether it's hardware related, whether it's software related. They're separated. So we have the biggest, beefiest support system as far as help desk wise goes in this industry by far.
You asked about the counties or the states. Tucker confirmed with me, again, I'm West Coast, so I don't even know what's going on over there. No, I'm kidding. Maryland is the same system as that we conducted these pilots with. Arkansas is using the express vote as a tabulator. That would be the only difference.
Connie? Hi, this is Connie Engmeyer, and I had a question about designing of the ballots. I understand that one of the pilot counties had some problems with the lines between the columns. And then on the second note, they were also having some problems with the verbiage and when it would disappear. And then the only time they could see if they had it corrected is when they generated ballots. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not familiar with those exact situations. I will say, though, that with the new software, with ElectionWare, moving from Unity or GEMS into ElectionWare, our options that we provide to the customer in designing a ballot are tenfold more than they were in the last system. For example, you're not stuck with a 3-column ballot. You can go to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 columns if you want, one wider and narrower, and each has the dividing line. I know where that's set in the software. They probably just weren't aware of it. An aspect of training that we can circle back with them on. But talking about the robustness of the software, the column configuration could be different from the front to the back, from page 2 to page 3. You have absolute control over the design of your ballot. Not only that, but we have implemented different densities of ballot. And let me explain to you what that is. We are trying to allow Colorado customers to save money on ballot printing. For example, we've all seen a ballot. The tick marks, the timing marks on the side, go vertically on the side of the ballot. Let's say you're using a 14-inch ballot and you're designing it, and you find one of your 100 styles just won't fit on that 14-inch ballot. And you think, oh, gosh, I don't want to go to a 17-inch ballot. I may have to spend more money on my ballot printing. We have 3 different densities of that 14-inch ballot, squeezing more of those timing marks on the ballot. Every timing mark is a potential for an oval in a column. 3 different densities giving you more opportunities to fit more content on the same ballot length without having to go to a longer ballot or, heaven forbid, a 2-page ballot.
Good. And I had one more question then. And then how many languages does your equipment support?
I believe we're certified with 12 now. Would you like me to list them?
I think not. I think you're way too eager.
I actually started sweating when I said that. I hope she says no. Thank you.
Teek Simonton. So with the different densities, does that mean that all of the ballots would have to become that smaller density then?
Yes, it's consistent throughout an election. There are some creative coding techniques where, the same coding technique that allowed Jefferson to be flexible with their early UOCAVA ballots, getting those out the door, the same coding technique could potentially be used. It's a little off the beaten path, but it could be used to use two different densities in the same election. But for the most part, the answer is yes, just one density per election.
This is Clarissa Thomas. I'm going to ask you what I've asked everyone else. How does your system ensure, not only to us but to the voters, that you have secured and are providing integrity in the elections process?
Okay. It's pretty easy. It's fairly simple, really, but powerful in concept. We strongly believe in the the paper ballot is the vote of record. Okay, that is the only artifact that we have of the voter's experience on election day, of their intention, of what they wanted to vote for. Our system is right for Colorado and would make Colorado elections traceable and auditable. the ability to put the serial number on every single ballot, find that ballot image immediately in the software, and have that transparency of that physical ballot to the image, to the cast vote record, which tells you exactly how that ballot was tabulated on the serial. It even provides the serial number of the machine that it went through. Plenty of information to trace back an individual voter's selections to exactly how that tabulator tabulated it. Also, audit logs. So we have done a considerable amount of work with the new system to make our audit logs extremely robust, extremely easy to understand, but also easy to sift through at the end of an election. When the DS-200 or any tabulator reads its results into the reporting software, they are all consolidated. These devices can print an audit log, an individual audit log, and then you got a bunch of different pieces of paper, but that's entirely consolidated inside the software as well. And it becomes much more easy to use, much more user-friendly to sift through and trace your election from the very beginning, from the first time that an individual logged into the software to begin the coding process of an election to when the last poll was closed and the last result was read into the software. Everything is there, and it's very easy to understand, and it's in one central location. That's why I think it's best for Colorado.
I don't have any specific questions other than just real quick on the ballot online and election night reporting. It looks to me as if those are intended to be hosted by a particular county. And as you may know, currently the state provides those systems on behalf of all counties. If we were to go with ESNS, can we configure your election night reporting so that any of the, let's say, 24 counties who move in 2016 could upload to a central site and it's reported statewide, but more importantly, the remaining counties who have not converted in 2016, can we map their data on your election night reporting system, or is it kind of proprietary, if you will, with EVS?
Our election reporting solution is called ElectionWare Web Results, and it is currently hosted on servers in Omaha. We have had interest from other customers who'd like to host that, for example, at a state headquarters or whatnot, and we're totally open to doing that. We just have not had a customer take advantage of that yet. It's a very simple application. Our reporting software at the end of the night outputs a single XML file that contains all the votes for your entire election. That single file is uploaded to the system, and the administrator has the ability to preview the results, what they would look like if they were to publish them to the internet. One button press, and the results are out on the internet. We also archive the old XMLs, the old results, so that let's say you miss something in your review and you need to quickly get back those. The last stage of the last posting you had is immediately, you can immediately jump back to those results that were posted. Meanwhile, you can review exactly what went wrong with your current posting.
So that goes really to my question. For our legacy systems that do not export data in XML format, they're exporting it in CSV format, for example, like GEMS.
Go ahead.
Is it possible to utilize the ESNS election night reporting and map that different data so that it too is included in statewide reporting for the counties that continue to use those systems?
I'll keep the answer very simple. If you have legacy customers on GEMS or Unity, our ElectionWare Web Results application is fully compliant with outputs from both of those systems as well.
Okay, and so the other issue is we have a number of HART counties who we provide statewide reporting for everybody.
Yep.
We're brand agnostic, if you will.
Yep.
And my question is your system configurable so that we can accommodate all comers in this state?
If we were chosen, what we would do is we would make it compliant with HART outputs as well.
Okay.
And for example, our GEMS, the ability to input GEMS data into the system, we built that in 1 month at the request of a customer. We could certainly follow the same time frame and get that ready for HART customers as well.
Okay. Great. I think we're out of time. I wanted to thank the ESNS team, as I have all the other providers. Just in my capacity as the county support manager for the state, I was very happy that you guys have such a great team. You provided so much support to Jefferson County and to Teller County, and believe me, both of them are equally important to us here. You took good care of your customers, and I really appreciate all the time you've given to the committee, but also to your county customers. You just did an exemplary job, and I want to congratulate you and thank you for everything you've done.
Well, we again thank you for the opportunity. We, as Dan mentioned, we truly enjoyed the opportunity, particularly in Jefferson County, to kind of show off and show what we could do when they got that special recall election. And it was funny because we kept saying, well, this is what might happen. This is what might happen. And we're drawing up all these different scenarios. And then all of a sudden it happens. And you just go, okay, let's do what we can to just make this thing successful and show off our equipment. So thank you for the committee. I know you are putting in a lot of time, of your personal time, to do this. And we appreciate the two counties that conducted the pilots. Thank you.
Okay, let's see if we can all get back here and get started at 10 minutes until 3. So I'm not giving a very long break, but so about 7 minutes or so, let's please regroup and restart. Thanks.
Hi, today we're here to talk about Verity Central. Which is the next generation of Hart InterCivic's high-speed digital scanning technology. As part of the Verity family, everything about our high-speed scanning solution has been designed around three core values: usability, adaptability, and transparency. That means that Verity Central was designed to have a modern, fresh, and intuitive interface that almost anybody can use comfortably with minimal training. Usability also means that our system is designed to process all your ballots without tabulating them. That leads to greater efficiency because you can start scanning your ballots weeks ahead of time. Verity Central was designed very specifically.
Folks, and just as a friendly reminder, if you are interested in testifying, would you please sign up during this presentation at the sign-up sheet
and then if you
at
want to
the table
around,
over by where Steve is?
It turns green.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll just mic it externally. The sound quality won't be great, but
oh,
it's not coming through the PC.
Hold the mic right up to the PC,
yeah.
To my PC. Do you hear that, Justin?
No. Hold the mic. It's not. I know it's not the most elegant solution.
It's
all right.
It's perfectly
obvious. Hey, there, you always got to have a backup plan.
This is elections.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
All right. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. And thank you so much for inviting Hart to participate and compete in the UVS process. It's great to be back here again in front of the committee. And thank you to the committee for inviting us. Thank you to the pilot counties, Douglas and Garfield, that had us in this year for their elections. And thanks to the public, too, for caring, for wanting to be here to make things better in elections in Colorado. I'd like to quickly introduce the Hart team. My name is Ron Clevenger. I'm the Vice President of Sales for Hart InterCivic. And I'm joined on my left with Pete Lichtenheld, who's the Vice President of Operations. Next to him is Justin Morris. He's a local Colorado resident and responsible for West Region sales for Hart. Next to Justin is Julie Mathis. Julie is Hart's senior most executive in the room and our chief financial officer. And next to her is Sean Phillips, who's a solutions consultant, has a lot of experience in Colorado and in other statewide implementations. So thanks for having us. Just some opening comments before I jump into the slides. I was thinking about the job that you guys have to do. It's unbelievable
to be honest. And the decisions that you're going to make are monumental. There's absolutely no doubt that whatever you do, you're going to make the best choice for the state, and then it's going to be debated, right, for years and years to come. Certainly locally, but not only locally, people are talking about you nationally. And so we do empathize with, you know, what you have to accomplish. And so we've spent a lot of time in Colorado. We'll go into a lot of detail. We've been here for many decades. But in the last couple of years, through the UVS process, we've listened. We've tried to be great listeners as to what you want for the future of Colorado elections. And we think we've heard three things. Number one is you want to partner and plan with somebody that will minimize risk. Nobody wants to be on the front page of the newspaper. We've clearly heard you say that you need an affordable system for all. And lastly, you want modern technology that's going to carry you into the future. And our presentation is designed to really support those three pillars. And before we get into the slides, I just want to make a comment on each of those that I just kind of think sets the table. Number one, HART can help you minimize risk because we know Colorado. And we invest significantly in client success, which we'll talk about. Number two, affordable. I'm not going to talk too much about that. I honestly believe that when you see the HART bid and you do the math, it'll become apparent that it's an affordable bid. But the one thing I will say about the bid is that our philosophy isn't that large counties subsidize the small or that small counties pay an unproportionate share of the system solution. What we've done is we've brought great technology, hardware and software priced at the same price, equal pricing for everybody. And so we're excited about that. And then lastly, you know, going last affords you the opportunity to kind of hear what some of the other vendors have talked about. And what's really, really exciting about elections right now is that every company today has stood up and they've talked to you about their digital solution, right? They've talked about digital solutions that bring COTS technology to the table, that drive costs down, that allow you to do things like digital adjudication. It also allows you for easy auditability. And I just want to tell you that HART has that same system too. And that system is called Ballot Now. It's in the HART voting system, and we introduced it to Colorado in 2006. So it's been in this marketplace for a decade. And what we're going to talk to you about today is Verity. And Verity is undoubtedly the future of elections. It's the system that's been piloted in Colorado. It's the system that's certified nationally today. And it is a modern digital voting system that takes all of the learnings from Colorado over the last 10 years and puts them into a brand new platform. So I want to talk a bit about why HART. A lot of you know HART, but I want to make sure that the entire audience knows HART, and then I'm going to pass it to my colleagues. We do business in 17 states today, just over 500 jurisdictions, and needless to say, millions of votes are cast on our systems each and every election. We've been in business since 1912. We began doing business in Colorado in the 80s, programming ballots, and we introduced our voting technology to the state of Colorado back in the 05-06 timeframe. The stars on the map, the blue stars on the map, indicate Verity, the latest system certified by the EAC that's now being contracted in various states throughout the country. There is a tremendous amount of excitement about Verity and what it brings and kind of the future that it provides for elections administrators and voters alike. And we are seeing a big momentum across the country. And we're excited to be here today because we think it's a great fit for you. So who is HART and what are we all about? Well, one thing that's interesting is while there's still the same 3,100 or 3,200 counties in the United States, we're growing pretty rapidly. Over the last 6 years, our customer base has increased by 2.4x. And so what does that mean? It means that people are choosing to leave their previous vendor and jump on board with HART. You've heard a lot about technology today. You're going to hear a lot about the other side of the equation, which is kind of like a marriage, and that's the partnership and the support and the reliability of the relationship for a long time. We did do two recent statewide implementations, and I know other vendors have done statewide implementations, and we're not here to talk about that to kind of pound our chest. I want to talk about kind of the heart of our business model, and it's this. We want to do business the way you want to do business. We want to enable you to do things the Colorado way. And so here are two examples. When we won the state of Hawaii, they said, Hart, man, we really love your technology. And as a matter of fact, we want you to come to Hawaii every election and run our election cradle to grave. Total turnkey solution. And so every 2 years as they do elections in Hawaii, there is an unfortunate crew from Hart that gets assigned to move over there and take care of that. And so we do handle all of the details of the election from hardware, software, and personnel for the state. On the other side is Oklahoma, right across the border from Texas, where we're headquartered. And in true Oklahoma fashion, they said to us, Hart, we love your equipment. We want you to ship it to us. Come over to our state for just a little while, train us, and go straight back home. We want complete autonomy, right? So they wanted to really own their own destiny. They wanted to do everything on their own. They did not want to be burdened by needing the vendor. And we can do either of those or anything in between. As I mentioned, we got started in 1912 in business, and we've done a lot of things along the way. But I do point out two years here. Number one is in 2005, we did introduce the first digital scanning solution in the elections industry. So we've got a tremendous amount of experience scanning ballots digitally, both in precinct and in a number of by-mail states. And number two, since 2006, we've come into the Colorado market, and we've served 45 Colorado counties. And so we have a lot of Colorado DNA in our building and in our engineering shop. We spend equally as much time talking about investing in and strategizing around customer satisfaction as we do around technology. And we put our money where our mouth is. And what I mean by that is we measure and publish our results. And what we ask of each of our clients are a series of questions. And I share with you on this slide too that I think really kind of indicate the type of partner Hart can be. Number one is we say, how are we doing? Please rate our service. And 94% of our customers in the last survey said, not only are you doing a good job, but you're doing an excellent or above average job. And on the flip side of that, 92% of our clients say that they would recommend us. And so while I'm responsible for sales and it's fun to go out and get new customers, really, truly, our best sales advocates are the existing Hart customers that keep recommending us into new counties throughout the country. We've just finished some round of surveys, and I thought it appropriate to share with you some quotes that are coming from your colleagues and peers in the state. Lincoln County had to say that they've been completely satisfied with everything and the relationships Hart has built with the customer. Thank you for all you've done. Montrose County, customer service is fantastic. Rout County, providing excellent customer service, support, and keeping up with technology, and your communication and the way you keep me informed. So with that, I hope you have a better glimpse of Hart and what we bring to the table as a partner. And I'm going to pass it over now to Justin Morris, who's going to talk about the technology.
Thanks, Ron. So thank you again for having us here. I'm going to take you through just a brief overview of the components of the Hart Verity solution. I know that many of you have seen the equipment, but we also did bring it along to kind of show you, remind you of what it looks like. And in designing our in-person devices, these are the devices that would be used at your VSPCs, there were a few things that were really important to us that we heard loud and clear from you that were important. One is it's got to be very easy to set up. It's got to be very easy to deploy. And voters need to be able to operate them easily. And I think when you see the results of the pilots, the reviews have been astounding. They've just been wonderful. Very easy to use, set up, deploy, store, so on and so forth. And if there's time, we'd be happy to show you more about the actual devices if you haven't seen them before. But again, it's listening to you, the state, our counties, our customers, and understanding what's important. One of the things that you may not have seen is the real backbone of our by-mail system. And our by-mail system is a software product that we call Verity Central. And this is a software application that works with commercial off-the-shelf scanners that scans ballots. And one of the great features of the Verity Central solution is that it is so easy to operate. And in operating the system, when you have contests that need to be adjudicated, we do things like color code them so that it's very apparent what the requirement is for that particular contest. The ballot that you see on screen there is an overvote. Red means overvote. And I apologize, but it looks pink, but in the real world, it is red. So I think it's just a projection issue. So at any rate, it is a very intuitive system to use and fun to use. And I think one of the things that you'll also find from feedback on the pilots is that it required so little training. And operators were able to jump on and get involved and start using the system immediately. So we knew we knocked it out of the park. I do want to switch away from the presentation for just a moment. I have a brief video that I would like to share with you where Verity Central is being used. I'm going to apologize in advance. We've had some audio issues. So I'm going to take this microphone and I'm going to hold it to the laptop. And if there's feedback, I apologize. So.
Do I have to hold anything?
Just the button.
This one?
And it's green, it's live. So,
it's good.
It's good. It turns red, it's off. So, hit it one more time.
Are we there? Yep. Okay. Is that coming through?
Today we're here to talk about Verity Central, which is the next generation of Hart InterCivic's high-speed digital scanning technology. As part of the Verity family, everything about our high-speed scanning solution has been designed around three core values: usability, adaptability, transparency. That means that Verity Central was designed to have a modern, fresh, and intuitive interface that almost anybody can use comfortably with minimal training. Usability also means that our system is designed to process all your ballots without tabulating them. That leads to greater efficiency because you can start scanning your ballots weeks ahead of time. Verity Central was designed very specifically to take advantage of cost-effective commercial off-the-shelf technology. We knew that we didn't want large, expensive proprietary devices, but instead lots of choice for our customers. So Verity Central is designed around several different models of commercial off-the-shelf scanners at different price points with different throughput speeds. And there's also an option for networking, so you don't have a single point of failure and you have real scalability. In short, adaptability means that we always have a good choice, whether you're a small county, a mid-sized county, or the largest county with the most demanding of requirements. And finally, Verity Central is designed to put the power of easy image searches right at your fingertips. By using a variety of variables, you can put your hands on just the ballot images that you want to work with. And once you do, with simple on-screen resolution, you can adjudicate those ballots, and the system will always tell you very clearly how every voter's selection was read. That gives you maximum confidence and maximum transparency. When we talk about things like efficiency and usability, that means that Verity Central is a system that works for you. We selected our election, we scanned our ballots, and now it's time to review our images. Verity Central shows exactly what's happened at the scanner. Every batch appears on its own line item. You know how many ballots are contained in each batch, and there's simple color coding. Any batch that shows up as red needs your attention for adjudication. We've shown you how every aspect of Verity Central has been designed for fast, efficient throughput, scalability with lots of choices for jurisdictions of almost any size, and easy access to all of your ballot images for the very, very best auditability and transparency. That's really what we mean when we started off by saying that at the heart of Verity are the values of usability, adaptability, and transparency. That's why Verity is the future of elections. Thanks.
Okay, so the I think one of the really cool things about that is it was a very simple flow to the software. And if you look on screen there on that screenshot, you see the chevrons running across the top. It's very easy to follow. So you do your tasks one after another, and then you go down and run tasks on the left-hand side. And it's not just Verity Central that works that way. It's the whole family of applications. So here are screenshots of the four applications that make up Verity. There's the ballot layout, which is accomplished through Verity data. There's the media programming and ballot printing that is accomplished by Verity Build, high-speed central scanning through Verity Central, and tabulation is done through Verity Count. And I guess the way I like to look at our design is that for the first time last year in my life, I was able to do all my holiday shopping without going to the mall. And I was able to accomplish that by my friends at Amazon. And what I love about Amazon is that regardless of what I'm shopping for, whether it's shoes, books, or electronics, the experience is always the same. I know where my shopping cart is. I know how to track my orders. And it's a very simplified menu system. And that is really a design principle that went into Verity. It should be that easy. So if you have trained one person to use one of the applications, they are way ahead of the rest in understanding the rest of the applications. It's that intuitive, and it's that easy to use. And it just doesn't apply to, you know, the largest counties. It is all counties. So I think you've seen this map presented a number of different ways today, all the beautiful colors and all the different tiers. And like everyone else, I will tell you that our solution does fit in absolutely every county. I think one of the big differentiators for HART is that there is a common theme throughout and that you're all using the same software applications regardless of size. The scale is a little bit different. You might have some more scanners in some places or more in-person devices based on the number of VSPCs, but the bottom line is it is the same. And I think what you found in a response to your pricing request is we've laid it out very simply for you. And Ron mentioned it before, but it doesn't matter if you're the smallest county or the largest county. You're going to pay the same exact amount for the same devices, regardless of county size. And we felt that was very important. It should be fair and affordable for all counties. So I want to dive into a little bit about the modern technology. And these are some of the things that we think are very important to you, our Colorado counties, and how to run elections more effectively and more efficiently. As Ron mentioned, this is a next generation digital system that was built from the ground up. However, we took all the great features of HVS that we've used over the years. We've taken the feedback from you and improved on those features. So it's something that we're really excited about bringing to the state. Furthermore, we have been able to reduce the amount of equipment required to do the same tasks. So on our in-person devices, they don't require a secondary device to control them or a server, right? They're standalone devices. That Verity TouchWriter right there is its own device. It doesn't connect to a server, okay? Our Verity Scan, for those VSPCs that want to have a scan unit, it's a standalone unit. It does not require any additional attachments. So again, we've listened to you and we've heard you loud and clear on your desires, on the things that you want. And in designing our solutions, we really believe that the best approach was a combination of commercial off-the-shelf equipment and purpose-built devices. Now, when we talk about commercial off-the-shelf equipment, we're not talking about stuff that you can just run down to Best Buy and buy, okay? These are enterprise-class products that we provide for you, and there is a reason for that. An enterprise-class product is designed to be much more stable over the long haul. It is far easier to upgrade, and it allows us to do things like put two drives in every one of the PCs that are set up as RAID 1 or redundancy. So if one drive fails, you continue to operate. Those are key features that you get from enterprise class systems that you just can't buy from the Best Buys of the world. It also means using purpose-built devices like our Verity TouchWriter for voters with disabilities. The reason we chose to do that is that you've seen the Android tablets and maybe some Windows tablets and so forth, and there are challenges with those devices. The biggest challenge is that they change frequently, okay? And when they change frequently, they don't always support the previous operating system that they were running on. So now you have multiple tablets running multiple different OSs, which makes it much more difficult to support. By having a system that's designed for 20 years or more, what we're doing is we're removing the risk of obsolescence of those consumer-grade tablets. And we feel that that is the best combination for Colorado counties. Not only that, one of the things that we're very proud of is that this solution is VVSG 2005 certified. It's ready to go now, okay? There's no further development required for our in-person devices. It's done. They were used during the pilot, and they were used very successfully. And lastly, we don't believe in summary ballots. We believe that all voters, able-bodied or voters with disabilities, should have a ballot that looks identical to able-bodied voters, right? And that's what Verity TouchWriter does. All it does is it prints a ballot that's completed using the marks that they've decided to make, and it prints a ballot that's scanned just like every other ballot. There's no voodoo QR codes, anything like that. It's all very straightforward, and it gives the voter the confidence that their vote is read correctly, and it is just like everybody else's. So, again, I want to mention, because I don't think we can say this enough, you've seen our bids. It's a very simple, consistent pricing for all size counties. Large counties do not subsidize the smaller counties. And one of the other things that we're really excited about is that with Verity, we are removing pretty much all of the preventative maintenance costs associated with our devices. And that's just a little teaser. I'm going to let Pete share more on that with you in a little bit. But imagine that, more cost savings down the road, not having to worry about preventative maintenance. Now, as you can imagine, we've created quite a bit of buzz with this system. You know, we've heard from Colorado, but we've also heard from other places, and we've had some a lot of buzz, and Ron showed you the stars on the states where Verity is being adopted. We've run live elections on this brand new system in several states, starting with spring elections earlier this year, and of course with the most recent election. But I want to give you some great feedback that we received during the pilots. Do all of you know Dub down in Douglas County? I think you all do, right? We like Dub a lot. He has, he's opinionated, right? Is it okay to say that? I know I saw Sherry and, yeah, there we are. Yeah, and you know what? He's outspoken, but he's outspoken in the best possible way. He's outspoken in making sure that Colorado voters have their votes count. And he's looking out for Douglas County to ensure that they have the best system available for them to their use. So when Dub sent this to us, I was blown away, referring to it as a knockout blow. Smaller, lighter, faster, scalable for all counties. And the one that I love the most, because we work so hard at this, is our superior customer service. And that's something we're very proud of. And it doesn't end there. Gene from Garfield. Gene, you're here, right? I saw her earlier. Yeah, there she is. Hi. Gene thought it was an exponential upgrade over an already advanced system that's available. The entire process from building the ballot, creating ballots, scanning ballots, resolving ballots, is just more logical, intuitive, easier to transport and set up. Scanning was a lot quicker, and the in-person voters who used the TouchWriters were so pleased with how simple it was. And again, I would encourage you to read all of the voter feedback, because they were wonderful in Garfield County in providing all of that data. So I'm going to wrap up with just one more piece of business here. You'll see we have this Verity Built for Colorado sign here. And, you know, when we were talking about Verity and voting systems in Colorado, we really started to think about, you know, what keeps you up at night? What are your biggest concerns? How can we make your lives easier? So we've put together a little checklist, if you will, and I'm just going to run through these real quick. So number one on the list is CORA simplified, meaning you can get the data out of the system quickly. COTS done right. As I mentioned earlier, it's enterprise-class product. You don't have to worry about obsolescence as you do with consumer products. Manageable maintenance. Again, this is the teaser for Pete. He'll tell you more about that. But the bottom line is you should be able to maintain your own equipment. It shouldn't require the vendor. The fourth one is doing more with less, less equipment to achieve the same excellent results in a timely manner. RAID 1 protection for your PC so that you know you're covered. If you should have a catastrophic failure, you still are running if one of those drives go down on you. Ballot production should be easy and fast. I think we have some great feedback from the counties that ran the pilots, and we encourage you to engage with them and get that information. Easy knowledge transfer. I mentioned earlier how easy it was to train people to use Verity Central, but it's not just the applications. We know in Colorado things change. We know that counties have turnover, and it is imperative that you can transfer the knowledge of how to use the system onto new employees, and it should be easy and inexpensive to implement, and you'll see that our implementation is very straightforward. RLAs without a catch. We know it's upon us. We'll be performing an RLA here in Garfield County shortly, I think week from Monday. Is that right, Pete?
23rd.
Yeah, I think that's the day. We encourage you to be there. I think many of you will be, and we're looking forward to it. It's a great opportunity to show the muscle behind the system. Again, purpose-built devices where it makes sense. And lastly, and I think most importantly, is the relationship we have with you. And we've proven time and time again that our customer service is top of the list. We challenge others to meet it. So with that, I'm going to pass it along to Pete, who's going to take you through the project implementation.
Thank you, Justin. I'm Peter Lichtenheld. I'm Vice President of Operations at HART, and I'm also the lead project manager for the pilot implementations here in Colorado. Happy to do so. It was fun. It was great to see all of you in the field. I pretty much saw everybody, I believe, except for Jennifer, who met with Justin in the field. Also want to take this opportunity to say thank you again to Gene and Pam in Garfield, and to Patrick and Sherry and Merlin and all their teams in Douglas. It was great working with you all, and I really enjoyed it. So before I get into some detail on this, I'm going to let us sit on this slide for a second and follow up on some things Justin said. First of all, we talked a lot about customer satisfaction at HART, and I've heard some of your follow-up questions, by the way, as I've sat here today. You know, customer satisfaction, we don't do a survey so that we can put a slide up and say we have great customer satisfaction. We ask customers how they feel about HART so we can get better. That's the whole point of it. So we've run annual surveys since 2009 with the same questions, and we've improved in our customer service that whole time, because what we do is we take the feedback from the customers and we say, how can we use this feedback to help us get better? And you can ask any customer in Colorado about that, and they will tell you that's the fact. In 2010, because of customer satisfaction results and questions in the survey and comments in the survey, because we really like comments, we got together a focus group in Colorado, and we had asked that focus group about some of their feedback, and they said, look, one of the things we need is we need help planning for our budgets for a voting system for the coming year. And because of that, we've put together a free consultation program that we do annually with every customer across the country by their choice, on their time, either on-site or on the web. And 80% of our customers take advantage of that. And all it is planning for the future. They get great information out of it, and we have a great conversation out of it. So that's an example of customer service at HART. We believe in that, and we implement well because that's important to us. So we're very dedicated to that. Another thing I want to follow up about was ballot production. Justin talked about how great the ballot production was for our pilot counties. So I was there for Garfield and for Douglas's ballot production. Clarissa was also there in Douglas for their ballot production. And I think Teak was there in Garfield. And I stood behind Dub and Edna as they built the ballots, basically. Again, hands off for me. They did it all. By the way, I'm a former teacher. I taught for 19 years. I did a horrible job training both these customers, and they did it despite me. Seriously, I didn't do a great job. I mean, this was a really short time span we did this project in. But the awesome thing about it is that the product is so simple to use that they caught on like that, and they went to town with it. Elaine from Douglas County, I showed her the equipment once, and she did the acceptance testing and taught somebody else to help her. I mean, that's how easy it was. So the ballot production, Dub did their ballot build in a morning, and that's when he spent half the time just chatting with Clarissa and still got it done by noon, which it usually takes him a day or two, he said. And Edna in Garfield did it in even less time than that, part of a day. And the cool thing about that process, and I hope neither of them fault me for saying this about them, but they are polar opposites of each other and how you approach elections and personality even. As Justin said, you know, I mean, Dub's a geek, you know, and he'll take it to task on every little thing. And he cranked through it and enjoyed it, really. And Edna, you can tell her how to do something, and she'll say, oh, that's interesting, Pete, but I think I'll do it the redneck way. Right? But all were successful at it. So that was just a great feeling for me. And I think really indicative of what we can do in Colorado. And then the last thing I want to say is about the things that Justin had indicated. It's talking about the touch rider. It's really important to us when we design the touch rider that every voter gets the same ballot. So a voter with disabilities or non-disability-abled voter who uses that device gets the same ballot that a by-mail voter gets. That's huge to us. We intentionally didn't do a summary ballot of any kind because we want every voter to have the same ballot and because we don't want a barcode on a ballot that has ballot information on it. Because one of the things we all in this industry learned, I thought, over the last 10 years is the fear of the black box. And we don't think you should create a new black box that's a barcode. So we didn't. Everybody gets the same ballot. So with that, let me talk about some of our other skill sets. By mail experience. We've done by mail since at least 2005. We're in Oregon, we're in Washington, we're in California, big by mail states, just like you guys have kind of gradually gone into by mail. That's what they all did too. Also Hawaii. Hawaii is actually a big by mail state. And the reason Hawaii is a big by mail state is not because they tout by mail really, but it's kind of an easier way to vote when you're an island state. And they have rules that you guys don't have. So they can't scan ballots ahead of time. They can't even open envelopes ahead of time for by mail. So on election day, that's the first time they're touching those ballots. They have to open the envelopes and process the ballots on election day. So in the city of county of Honolulu, we do 125,000 ballots all on election day. And first thing in the morning when we start up, we have nothing to scan yet. We get it all done that day. So that's a by-mail state in a lot of ways. Oregon, one of our customers there, Clackamas, who's noted up here, they are a Hart voting system customer. They had ballot now. They've moved to Verity. So that's our first customer on Verity in the state of Oregon. They're just south of Portland. And then Washington State, we have 26 counties in Washington State. They love Hart and they love ballot now. And we already have actually two that have moved to Verity. One that used in this past election, Chelan, and then another, Douglas, has also signed a contract to move to Verity. So quite a few customers there in Washington State and by mail. And then, of course, in California, they're also pretty much by mail. At least 70% of voters are voting by mail. And they're using ballot now like crazy, our Hart voting system solution. And we have some customers doing some unique things there. We had two customers run pilots all by mail. They called it actually the Colorado model, so congratulations to you for that. San Mateo, County in Northern California did that this election. And then Humboldt County, also in Northern California, they ran, have been running something that you guys can appreciate for several years. They've been doing a full audit every election. A nonpartisan group scans all the ballots and does a recount to match to the election results. And they've been successful and 100% match every single time. So, and then of course here, Douglas County and Garfield counties ran our full system, independent of me, as I said, and have done a great job. Yesterday, Douglas did their mandatory recount. They said it took 2 hours, less time than it's ever taken for them before in the past. It was easy. I was originally planning on being there, but I was here getting ready for this, so they did it independent of me. So that's how easy the system is to use. So lots of by-mail experience. Project management employment. Sorry, my water down there. Thanks. So probably every company that's been up here today has said that they can do your project management and deployment. The way we do it is first we scope it, then we make sure we have a communication plan for it, we cover risk mitigation, and we make sure we calendar everything out, and then we meet regularly to update that. We use a planning, deploying, and support model. But not everybody can say that they've been doing this for a while, and they've done statewide systems for a while, and they've done 24 counties in the state or more for a while and been successful at it. We can say that. We've done 45 counties in Colorado in the past in a very short time. We've done 77 in Oklahoma in 1 year, 2012. In Washington, we did 26 in a very short time. And in Texas, we did 100 in a very short time. So we staff right. We have professionals who are dedicated and who believe in what they do. I always have an open job rec for a project manager. I always do. I'm always looking for project managers. I interviewed a person the other day, and she asked me some great questions. And one of the questions she asked me is, what do you do when a project manager fails? And I was like, wow, no one's ever asked me that question before. And I looked at her, and I thought, that's a great question. I said, you know what? We've never had that problem because we don't let project managers fail. We set them up to succeed. Every election has to be successful. The project manager has to be successful. An election is like no other project. You have an end date, and when something goes awry in the process when you're getting ready for that end date, you can't move the end date. That's what they do in every other project. They move the end date. But in an election, you can't. So you do something else to figure out how you're going to make the end date. In Hawaii in 2014, we had a volcanic eruption and two hurricanes. In Hawaii in 2012, we had two earthquakes. None of those things changed election day. And the volcanic eruption, by the way, almost cut off the road to one of the polling sites. We still got the election done. So project management, I could say been there, done that, and we can do it again in Colorado. We'll do 24 next year, and we'll do 40 the next. I'm not going to teach anybody in this room anything about on this slide. The most important thing about this slide is for me to talk about auditing some. So auditability is huge in elections now, right? Auditability is the new security, is the way I always talk about it. So security used to be what we talked about with the older systems. And security is huge. But the thing about security is if you make it too secure, they can't use it. So you can't get there with just security. So you have to get there with auditability. So auditability, we've presented auditability through an auditing dashboard in our count software. So that's the tabulation piece. So you can see in this slide, we show that we have, this is after you've tabulated, and you can sort your cast vote records in any of these groupings that are shown here, like polling place, precinct, a district. You can do it by contest, you can do it by precinct, you can do it by ballot style, etc. And you can export those cast vote records. So when you get a CORA request or you're doing your mandatory audit, you can export cast vote records for that. And I'll talk about RLAs in just a second. You can also, from count, these same filters you can use for results reports. So you can export a set of cast vote records, export a results report with that same filter do a hand count and make sure it matches the report, okay? That's great auditability. So auditability is huge. That's auditability on the back end. So there's also auditability within the system. And for you guys, a huge part of that, of course, is by mail. So in this slide, I have a screenshot of Central after a ballot has been scanned and has been saved to the media, which we call the V drive. So if you look up in the right-hand corner, there's an image of a person's head, head and shoulders. That means that somebody adjudicated that contest, okay? And in the audit trail, you can tell who adjudicated the contest, by the way. Then the little lock with the V on it, that means that that ballot has been saved to the media, the V drive. And then if you look at by Dewey, don't pay attention to the red circles. That's what we did so you can focus in. The other stuff is part of the ballot. So by Dewey, you see there's a green box with a check. So that's an overlay that you can turn on or off that shows that the thing that the person who adjudicated this, what they did was they said, yes, that that gets counted. And then where it's in gray says not marked, they turn that mark off. So you can tell exactly what that person did. The audit trail also has all that same information. You can tell where this ballot is in the batch, so you can go find the physical ballot if you want. On the left-hand side, you see it tells the batch and where it is in the batch. It doesn't have a unique identifier, so it says unique ID and there's nothing. It doesn't have one. So, and you can export it with or without the annotations, okay? So this is what we would use for the risk-limiting audit. This ballot image is as it was saved to the V drive, and it really is the cast vote record. Okay, so auditability, huge in modern voting systems, and we've given you everything we think you need for auditability so that you have transparency and so that you can meet CORA requests without sweating it. It's nothing to worry about. There it is, boom, bada, boom. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, how often do Hart counties have to do a recount or have something contested, and how often is a problem? I've been at Hart for 15 years, guys. I've got a lot of elections experience, and you know what my answer was? I don't know. And that's a great answer. I don't know because our customers don't even tell us. They do recounts all the time, and they don't sweat it because it's supposed to work. The recount's supposed to come out the same as it did the first time, and that's how it does work. And with this system, you can prove it every step of the way. So that's really important in Colorado. We know that. We built Verity for that. Another thing that Justin actually kind of teed up for me a couple times was about operating costs. So when we designed Verity, we looked at what we did with our legacy system. And by the way, we're really proud of our legacy system, the Hart voting system. We still sell it. There are customers that still use it like crazy. But in Colorado, we sold the Hart voting system in a time of the past, right? When you did polling place voting, right? So a better fit instead of reconfiguring the Hart voting system for counties in Colorado is to move to Verity. But some of the things we learned from the Hart voting system was, number one, on software, how to make it easier for the customer. Okay, we looked at all the data we have on customer calls, and we tried to make it simpler for the customer. And then on hardware, how to make it so that maintenance costs, go back to that budget consultation time, right? One of the things customers are concerned about is having to have the vendor come out and do maintenance. Well, we've never had annual maintenance costs, but we do have every 3 years we come out and do a maintenance visit, and one of the things we do is change out the coin battery. The coin battery or the motherboard battery on our current system is buried, sitting on the motherboard. You have to take off like 10 screws, and in Colorado, 20 seals to get to it. And it's not a very big job, but it's tedious, and you've got to do it right. So we do it. So we said, you know what? Let's not do that with the Verity equipment. Let's put it under, you know, some screws. Let's put it under a tamper-evident seal, but let's make it something the customer can do themselves. And we did, and the customer can do that themselves. Same thing, we've never had a touchscreen before. This is our first touchscreen system, and we're proud of the touchscreen. It's a five-wire touchscreen technology. It's robust. It'll last a long time. That's important to us. And you can calibrate it yourself. It'll last 3 million touches before it has to be calibrated. That's a lot of voting. But You can calibrate it as often as you want. You just go into the system and say, I want to calibrate it or test it at least, and boom, bada, boom. You test it, you calibrate it. Same with the scanner. I don't think many in Colorado will use the scanner, by the way, the precinct scanner. I think most will want to have central high-speed scanning, but some of the small counties might want scanners. We had, in Douglas, we had scanners at the VSPCs, and we used them, but in a small debrief we did. We haven't done our big debrief yet. We'll do that a week from now. We said, you know what? We didn't really need those scanners because if you look at the number of ballots dropped off that we had to bring in and scan them anyway, and the number in the scanner, it was a very small percentage. So that's a huge savings right there. But for those who have the scanners in their precincts or for central count, for by mail counting, they can calibrate those scanners themselves because that's another service that we offer to customers now. Now it's on board with Verity. So you can white sheet calibrate it, you can grayscale calibrate, and you can speed calibrate that scanning head on your own. We just give you the sheets of paper to do it with. You put in the code to get into the software to do it, the device itself, and you run the test, and you pass or fail, and you can correct it yourself. So those are huge cost savings. And then the other huge, huge, huge cost savings, which is actually one of the reasons we first started doing the consultative workbook, is there are literally no costs to upgrading to Verity. So once a customer has purchased Verity and then a new Verity comes out, system fill in the blank, all the customer has to do is ship the hard drives from the devices, because they have hard drives too, and from the workstations to the state. The state has a trusted build. The state lays the trusted build image onto the hard drives, ships them back to the customer, customer acceptance tests. We ship the customer PDF documentation and deltas. We do web training or we come on site for training, and they're ready. They have the new system. So that's the kind of stuff we've looked at because of our experience and said, you know, how can we make this easier for our customers, better for our customers, and, you know, specific to Colorado, address some of the concerns that customers have had in Colorado. I think that's everything for me, and I'm available for questions later, and we'll be chatting then. John.
Thanks, Pete. Again, my name is Sean Phillips. I'm a solutions consultant with HART. I've been with HART for about 10 years, so it's good to be here in Colorado and see some familiar faces. I'm going to be brief, and quite honestly, it's for a couple reasons. I think we're getting close on time. And also, the enhancements that I want to talk about are kind of some high-level enhancements that are coming in the future with, as Pete called it, system fill-in-the-blank. I'm going to call it Verity System 2. But some high-level things that are coming down the line, and I want to talk specifically about one product that is coming down the line that we think is really exciting for Colorado. I want to talk high-level about some of the enhancements that are coming for Verity because of the fact that the system that you see before you today and the system that we ran in the pilots is 100% ready to go. It's ready to be used in an election tomorrow. Justin mentioned that we're VVSG 2005 certified, and this is the year really that Verity launched, and we've used it in elections across the country this year. But back home, our engineering team is really, they've moved on to Verity System 2.0, and what they're working on that specifically applies to you in Colorado is an updated Verity data application that streamlines the process of building and laying out your ballot. We wanted to make it fewer clicks to import your data, fewer clicks to validate that all that data is correct and verify it with the reports. And then we wanted to make your what you see is what you get ballot previews a lot more flexible and easy to see and use before you take it to the deployment phase. So that's coming. And then also some other general performance enhancements are coming as far as the time that it takes to generate ballots from Verity Build to PDF and some enhanced exports and reporting on the back end, custom HTML reports, other customizations that allow you to take all the data, filter it down to the results level that you need, and be able to export that out to statewide outlets, local outlets, and then reports you're going to put out on the table in your office. So those are the things that are coming down the line as far as enhancements. But again, Verity is ready to go, built for Colorado right now, tomorrow. The new product that I want to talk about that's coming early next year is Verity Print. Verity Print is a low-cost ballot-on-demand solution. There's a lot of points that you can see on the screen right now, some great features and selling points for it. I want to focus on three. Verity Print is a device, first and foremost. It is integrated with SCORE for quick ballot on demand, and it's also a low-cost solution. So what do I mean by it's a device? It's not a computer setup where you're going and setting up a tower, a keyboard, and a mouse and connecting it to a printer. The devices that you see in front of you over here today, Verity Print fits in that same easy, compact, suitcase-style design. The polling place official, the poll worker at the VSPC opens it up, powers it on, enters the passcode, and then they're ready to go to issue and, print ballots for the voters. The second point is SCORE integration. So I'm about to show you some shots to show you how easy it is to print a ballot, but the easiest way to do that is to have the barcode scanner scan the barcode that came directly from the SCORE system, and the exact right ballot is going to print for that voter, eliminating any, you know, potential for error by the person running the ballot on demand system there. And then lastly, it's a low-cost solution. So we think this kind of revolutionizes the ballot on demand approach, because once you buy this piece of equipment, you buy this hardware, that's really it. There's no click charges, there's no setup fees. You own it, you're able to print as many ballots as you need when you need them from this small, compact, lightweight design. Really, you're just paying for the ballot paper at that point. So here are some of the screenshots that show you the Verity Print interface. We continued the easy, plain language approach that we use in our devices to use in this ballot on demand device, but it's really 1, 2, 3. You're ready to issue ballots. You say, issue a ballot. Choose your precinct from the list, and you can type in the precinct to whittle it down to the exact right precinct, and then you say, yes, print the ballot. I do want to point out you do have the ability to change the quantity of ballots that you're going to print. So one ballot at a time on demand, or you can print multiple quantities if you needed a solution like that at the time for that particular instance. So really, that's it for me. Actually, I want to go back. One thing that I wanted to point out is this is if you're not using the barcode integration. Barcode integration is you scan it with the barcode scanner and the ballot prints automatically. So easy both ways. And really, Verity Print is the main product and new product that's coming down the line that we wanted to share with you today. And that's it for me. Thank you very much. Julie.
Thank you. So hopefully I'll be your favorite speaker of the day, because I believe I'm your last speaker of the day. So I will also keep it short. My name is Julie Mathis, and my job as an officer of the company is one primarily of running day-to-day finance and operations. But something else I do every day that you all do in your jobs too is make investment decisions. And so when I make investment decisions, I have to evaluate them thoughtfully, which I'm sure you all do too. And the construct that I do that in as my role as CFO is always looking, do I make sure I have the right product, the right price, and the right partner? And so I'd like to kind of just review kind of our heart solution here in that construct, because I know that's kind of weighing on your mind, I'm sure, as you make this very critical decision in a thoughtful way. So HART is committed to Colorado success, as our whole team here has so articulately mentioned to you. And we do believe we have the right product. So you've heard all about Verity today. We're very excited about it. It was purpose-built for Colorado, as you heard. It's based upon the foundation of our, you know, original digital scanning technology. It is the right balance of enterprise-wide costs along with purpose-built systems. It has all the auditability that Pete mentioned and the transparency and reporting. It's fast. It's accurate. It's the right product. Is it the right value? Is it the right price? We've also mentioned that the approach we took to pricing was, again, trying to look at it in the construct that you all are looking at it, and really thought, again, thoughtfully about the tiers. And we have represented here on the chart here, and we have this to pass out to you also, which, you know, our recommendations for, if you were to take the pricing we have in that proposal, the dollar values per each of those pieces of our equipment, multiplied by the number of units that we're recommending by each of these for each of your tiers, there's your simple pricing. So we believe it's affordable. We believe it's right size for each county, in that basically we're not, as we mentioned, not trying to have large county subsidize small or small subsidize large, but each county can buy exactly what they need in a very clear and affordable way. And is HART the right partnership for Colorado? Obviously, we believe that. We've been a partner with Colorado for years, as we've mentioned. We are proud to be partners in Colorado. We have a proven history, not only here in the state, but also across the country, as we've mentioned, with our, you know, Verity by Mail activities, with our statewide deployment. So we believe that the combination of our, you know, proven track record, along with the fact that we do customer partnerships really well, and we've mentioned this today, we're really proud of it, and we work hard at it. We feel like we do it well. So we believe we're absolutely kind of the best partner for the state going forward. So in closing, I wanted to be here today. These guys are fully competent to talk about our solution and our and what we do here for Colorado. But I wanted to be here today to convey to you how important this is to HART for every person in our company, from our top executives to our developers, to our election specialists, to our professional services. Everybody is on board and wanting to be, you know, continuing partners with Colorado. We bring to the table the right product, this awesome new Verity product. We bring the proven experience and the track record. We have the mindset of constantly improving and adapting. You heard that from Pete. I mean, we learn, we adapt, we evolve, we develop. You know, that is what we do every single day. We'll bring that mindset to the table every day with our partners, along with a passion for elections. And if you didn't hear that in Pete, then you're not listening, because we have that passion in our company. Every single person in our company has that passion for elections. We'll bring that to Colorado, because we believe in elections at HART. We believe in our customers, and we believe in Colorado. So thanks for having us here today and for letting us kind of talk to you about what we believe is great in HART. So with that, I think we have a few handouts, right, Sean? A few handouts, and then we'll do some Q&A also.
I think we can save the handouts for after.
Okay, we can do that, absolutely. Yeah, so we just have like this for handout for you.
Open for questions.
Open.
Members of the committee. Steve.
Steve Reynolds. And I guess I don't know if it's to Ron or to who, maybe Pete. I know for a fact, and you've made it in your statements here in the presentation here about deploying out in 45 counties here in the state of Colorado many years ago. What would you say are the lessons that were learned in that, and what would you do to make it even better? Because we know in any implementation, things don't always go as planned in that. So what would you do?
That's a great question. So I would say one of the lessons, and I've heard some others say that they would use this model with you. I taught for 19 years. Like I said before. Then I went and got my master's in instructional technology. That's how I ended up in this field. I started by being the training manager at HART. I had one employee. We've tried different things. We do train the trainer with poll workers. We think that's helped save our customers some money, and also to integrate the device training with the procedures training. We think that works pretty well. One thing we think does not work well, that we've tried and we think it's a fail, to tell you the truth, is regional training. We do not think regional training is a good idea. We think it's best when a customer learns the system on the system, the devices that they are using, not to travel to another county that's in the middle of their region and do a training, then go back home and try it on their stuff. So that's one lesson. Another lesson that we've done, we used to do an account manager approach and then a separate trainer. So another lesson we've learned, although that worked okay at the time, is that we don't do it that way anymore. So now we have a project manager, and then we have a consultant if we need it. So if we're doing a regional approach as far as a project manager owns a region, that project manager, well, actually the way I did it here is a perfect example. So in Colorado for these two pilot counties, I was the lead project manager, and then Jacob Shemelov was the project manager for Garfield only. He didn't step a foot in Douglas County. I was in both counties, and I was helping Jacob, but he was in Garfield a lot of the time when I couldn't be in Garfield. And the reason for that, a lot of that, is because of the time frame we did it in and some of the dates corresponded. I couldn't be in two places at once. So that's another model we learned, is it's great to have a senior person connected and partnering with a junior person. And when we did Virginia this last year, we did six counties in Virginia this year for November 3rd, this past election, and that's the model we use. So, make sense? Good question.
Teek Simonton, I have a few questions. Is there a UACAVA solution at this point through HART?
Great question. No, we do not have a UACAVA solution, so we work with your UACAVA vendor. Sherry Charleston is your account manager with Everyone Counts. She used to work at HART, and it was so easy. We asked her what files she needed. She told us. We sent her the files, and I realized, you know what, the 45th day before the election was yesterday, and I never heard from Sherry. So I called her and said, Sherry, did everything go well? She said, oh, yeah, thanks. Everything was great. Thanks for checking up on me. Boom, done.
Good, good. All right, so and then there's a couple of sort of functional things that I wonder if might be in a future upgrade. The overlay of the check marks in adjudication, where I believe you have to turn it off every time. Is it being discussed to maybe have a default where you could leave it off completely? Because
That's not on the current roadmap, okay. But that's good input. We're willing to listen to input.
I believe, yeah, when you turn it off, it stays off until you turn it back on.
Oh, it does.
It does.
So that's good. And then the other thing that I think was being discussed in Garfield County was the potential for a remote judge programming in the case where a voter was trying to use the TouchWriter system rather than the election judge having to actually go to the physical machine, where there might be some opportunity to not have to, you know, travel to the machine, similar to what you have now with the JBC, but maybe some sort of, I don't know whether it would be wireless.
There was talk about not having to hit the button at the back of the unit to put their password in.
Okay.
And we have talked about that some. It's not currently on a roadmap.
Okay.
So right now on the roadmap basically are system 2.0 to come out in Q1 of 2016, which has quite a few enhancements, some of which we've talked about with our customers, and which is great. And then we will probably have a Colorado VSTL version that comes out shortly after that with some of these ideas that folks have as we go here and learn our lessons.
There's Justin, and again, there's one more thing I'd like to address in that request. One of the things we have talked about, although it's not on the roadmap yet, it is being considered, is the ability that, like using SCORE for the Verity print device, using SCORE with the Verity TouchWriter, so that when the SCORE barcode comes out, instead of pressing a button, you'd scan it. You'd hit it with a barcode scanner, and that would bring up, that would present the correct ballot for that voter.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's what you're referring to. Okay.
Yeah. And then finally, assuming that your screensaver is a shot from somewhere in Hawaii, who was the lucky person that got to work in that polling place? Yeah.
End of the day.
The people we send to Hawaii tell us that it's not a lucky place to be and it's a lot of hard work, but whatever.
Hi, this is Connie Engmeyer, and I had a question about the enterprise equipment. Would you contract with these vendors, or would the county arrange for these contracts with them, or
the COTS equipment?
Yeah.
Good question. I'm so glad you teed that up for me.
You're
so we believe in enterprise level commercial off the shelf. You're not going to go to Best Buy and buy something that works for our system, right? You're going to buy it through us. It's commercial off the shelf. Enterprise level. So what does that get you? That gets you a long life of that hardware. It's going to last. It's not a computer that's going to be have a new update next year that has to be replaced, or that you can't, when you decide to add a new station, it's different than the one you bought before. So there's long life to it. That's the scanners, that's the computers, that's the printers. We have agreements with our suppliers that it's not the same as the stuff you buy at Best Buy. The other thing it gets you is you don't need to go to Best Buy to get it fixed, or you don't need to call Fujitsu or Kodak or Canon to get your scanner fixed. We're going to take care of that for you too. So if you have a problem with a scanner, for example, you don't have to call Kodak or Canon or Fujitsu. We're going to call them for you. Now, you do have the choice of having care packages, as they call them, which is our extended hardware warranties for their devices, but we'll help you buy those too because we get a discount on that for you. So did I answer that question well? Yeah, that's what an enterprise-level COTS is. It's long life, and you have, for ease of use of verbiage, you have one throat to choke, and that's ours.
And I guess I had one more question I've asked the other vendors is how many languages are you able
right now to? We have two languages, and that's all you guys need right now. So,
but you'll develop as needed.
Yeah, we have on the roadmap to add more languages as we go to states that and jurisdictions that require it. And, of course, that'll change over time with the census, and et cetera.
Chuck.
What size ballot paper can you accommodate in those printers?
So this device prints up to an 8.5 by 17 ballot. So, and one of the things we've done with Verity is we've basically been able to take the same amount of data that we would have on an 11 by 17 ballot from our legacy system, from the HART voting system, and put that on an 8.5 by 17 sheet of paper because we've taken better advantage and use of the geography we basically have on the ballot, and we've just used the space better and kind of consolidated some things. So 8.5 by 17.
Jennifer.
This is Jennifer Levin. I did get to visit your demonstration down in Douglas County, and I had two people who were blind test the machines, and it was very accessible. They had really a great experience. But I did have a question about, you know, when you cast the ballot and you print it out, the independence of delivering that portion, like how independent would a voter be in getting that ballot over to where they need to next?
Yeah. So our approach to that is equality, equality for every voter across the board, whether they're a voter with a disability or without. And so when we talk to disability groups, they tell us they want to not only equality with the ballot, that their ballot is going to look like every other ballot that's in the ballot box, but also they want the process to be the same. And that process is essentially they're going into the polling place, and then they're going to a private area where they can mark their ballot, which in their case would be the touchwriter. And then just like every other ballot that's going to a or every other voter who's going to a voting booth will mark their ballot in private and take it to the scanner. Every voter with a disability will do the same, and the way we achieve that is through some assistance from the poll worker and a privacy sleeve. So we wanted to make the process equal for every single voter across the board.
So what would the assistance from the poll worker look like?
Basic instruction of, you know, you're here at this voting booth right now. You've got the privacy panels, so you are, you know, free to vote in private. If it was an audio ballot session, our system is ready to go right now to be able to mask the screen and, you know, no one's able to look over their shoulder. But when they're done with that, before you leave them to start their private voting session, it would be, my name is Sean, I'm going to be 15 feet away, and when you're ready, I will assist you to the voting booth. You'll have your, or the scanning station, you'll have your privacy sleeve, and you'll insert the ballot there without me ever touching the ballot. And that's poll worker training.
Okay, and will y'all have training available for the voter, maybe like a web, you know, YouTube video or something like that?
We have standard voter education and outreach materials. We shared that with our pilot counties, and we'll continue to grow that volume, that library. So, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Donette and then Teague.
My question is, right now, do you have any other states, big, massive projects underway where we would be concerned with Colorado having the support we need?
We don't at present. We have in the pipeline, in our plans, we do have other states we're talking to. We're doing some implementations in December in Washington State and Virginia, we hope. Next year, we expect we'll have probably 20 installations across the country. That's good, right? We should have business. You know, one of the things Merlin has talked with me before about is that he thinks is important. He's a CPA reminder. For Colorado is to have a vendor who's got a healthy business. So we think that's good. But that doesn't impact Colorado. Colorado is important to us. I think me being here shows that. I was the project manager. I'm a vice president at heart. You're important to us. We put a lot of dedication into these projects, and that's not going to change. So, yes, we'll have other business, but Colorado will be a priority.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Teak Simonton, I think you answered this in Garfield County, but I just want to make sure. With the ballot formatting, right, when you have different ballot styles and different races that fall or questions that fall on the front side of the ballot versus the back side of the ballot, in other words, if you had to push a title or a race to another column or another page, is there flexibility within the ballot styles so that you can, you know, have some that are formatted with a question on the front and some where the title and the actual text would not have to be pushed to another column?
The answer to that is kind of yes and no. So the ballot templates need to be universal throughout the election. But what we do have is the flexibility to say for those things that, you know, contest titles or really separator text, we call it additional text. It's non-votable areas on the ballot. You can say, I want to have that stay with the subsequent item so that it's always falling to the next column. And that's going to change from ballot style to ballot style so that you're not left with, in one ballot style, your state contests start on the backside and you've got a widowed contest header saying state titles. It's always going to follow the content that it is the header of, regardless of ballot style or ballot placement.
Yeah, I got into trouble this year. Well, it was a major challenge, and I was trying not to get a three-page ballot on everything, and because we had some very long Roaring Fork side of the county questions that had to be pushed to the back, and then we had a Colorado Mountain College question, which technically should have come after them. I got permission from the Secretary of State to put 4D before 4B and C to make it all work. So. Yeah, I was just hoping that there would be a little more flexibility on that.
And the Verity system is going to help you out in that way with what I just previously mentioned, with the ability to keep items together, but also with the fact that you'll have four-column templates and greater flexibility in templates moving forward.
Dwight.
Hello. Thanks for being here. I had just a couple questions. On Verity print, it wasn't clear to me. It looks like there's basically a Verity writer type device that is paired with the printer, and it is that actually
it's
prints
it's really
the ballot.
The same hardware as you see right here. So it's a suitcase with a touchscreen and a off-the-shelf printer. So okay. It's really the same hardware with different software.
And am I correct? I think you said that you can print from one up to 100 ballots.
At one fell swoop. Yes, okay. That's right.
And I believe Justin told me over the phone that you are actually submitting this for federal certification?
It was submitted today, and the submission accepted today. So, yes, we are in EAC with Verity 2.0 as of today.
Yeah, I think I saw earlier maybe Tuesday that
Sean said a couple of times during the presentation, but, you know, the software we used in these pilots works. You can run a complete election with the software with no tweaks needed to it, no enhancements needed. Verity 2.0 was already in the plan. Some of the things that our Colorado counties wanted, like Verity Print, a ballot on demand solution, that's in Verity 2.0. So.
Okay. And I've read a lot of materials over the last 24 hours.
The good stuff you read is from us.
Thank you. I think you indicated the pricing on Verity Print was on the order of $5,500. Is that right?
That's correct. I think it was actually $5,300, but it's
okay.
You're very close, yes.
Okay, great. I had another question.
And I would add to that, that's the one-time price. No click charges, no per-ballot charges. Like I said, you're just paying for the paper at that point.
Okay. And can the paper be purchased from a provider other than Hart?
Yes. We give the specs for our recommended paper, but you can get it, and it's commercially available.
Okay. Oh, shoot. I had another question that's completely slipped my mind.
Well, maybe it'll come up after.
If it comes up, I'll call you.
That works.
Oh, I have a question, my standard question. How would you guys ensure us and Colorado citizenry, the voters, that your system meets the muster to ensure integrity in the electoral process?
We knew we were going to get that question. Well, first of all, I'll say I bet we're the only voting system provider that you'll talk to that's actually won an integrity award, which we have, an integrity and business award. But that's not enough. My answer is trust but verify. So that's what auditability gives you, and that's our system is totally auditable. So I know Colorado. I've been working in Colorado for 10 years with voting systems. I know I want to be a partner, but I know I'm also just a vendor in a way and a provider, and that you want to verify that things worked and that ballots were counted the way you expect them to be counted, and that's what this system does. It gives you the independence to be able to do that on your own. So, you know, Sherry did her mandatory audit yesterday. I didn't even know they did it until I called at the end of the day to say, hey, how'd it go? And she was like, I'm so excited. We got done in 2 hours. It was awesome. It was easy. It was fantastic. I love this system. So it's in the jurisdiction's hands to use the transparency and the auditability of the system to show that it's trustworthy. And we're going to be professional because that's who we are.
Thank you. Dwight, did you remember?
No, I didn't. But I didn't want to let Hart leave. I just, from my standpoint and from the standpoint of the voting systems team here, I really thank you all so much. I think I know how much work this was to do this, how much support you provided to the counties. The counties were successful, which means everything to me. We had some challenges, not only with Hart, but with Hart, among others, in kind of making Hart work with all these other ancillary systems. And that's not a failing of Hart, because a lot of the requirements for those ancillary systems are kind of unknown or certainly not published. But whenever we encountered one of those problems, I made a call to Pete or to Justin, and like a team was on it, and it was fixed in a really quick amount of time. And I want you to know how much we appreciate all the effort that you've put into this. It means a lot to us. I know it meant a lot to Douglas County. I know it meant a lot to Garfield County.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Thank you.
And Justin, I'll apologize now for perpetually torturing you throughout the entire process, but I hope I can stop that.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
We have some handouts that we're going to give you all here. It's just kind of follow-up to what we presented.
Yeah, because we're supposed to kind of be done now. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to move to the public comment portion. We received some very lengthy public comments that are posted on our website. As you know, today's session was really geared toward, we wanted to hear from the providers, and we've done that. We're not going to further consider the written comments that are posted on the website today. That doesn't mean they won't be considered. We will consider them on December 4th, which is our next meeting. So we have four people who've signed up to speak. We have got to be out of here. We're supposed to adjourn roughly about now, but we need to conclude this meeting promptly at 4:45. And so we're going to need to limit our speakers to 3 minutes apiece. And the first person on the list is the Honorable Stan Martin, Adams County Clerk and Recorder.
Dwight, I think I put my name on the wrong list.
but thank you.
Wow. Did you think this was like the lunch list or something?
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you, Stan. Jean, did you put yourself on the wrong list? Come on up. The next speaker is Jean Alberico, clerk and recorder of Garfield County.
First of all, I am Jean Alberico, Garfield County clerk and recorder, and I want to thank the members of the committee. And I really appreciate the visits that we had. You know, we're on the other side of the mountain, so it wasn't easy to get to us. And I appreciate the time and effort and all the energy that you're putting into being on this committee and making this decision. I just want to tell you that the two things that I think are most important to me as a county clerk in making this decision have been mentioned numerous times today. One of them is affordability, and the other one is proven customer support, and I think that's huge. I've been in the county clerk's office for 33 years and used one of the systems, one of the vendors this for 23 years and another one for the last almost 10 years. And in both situations, there was outstanding customer support, and that's what got us through the elections and allowed us to conduct good elections. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Okay, our next speaker is Neil Burnett.
Howdy, Neil McBurnett from...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem, yeah. And I've been working on audits and risk limiting audits and evidence-based elections, which I'm thrilled so many of the vendors really made the point that verifiability and confidence comes from looking at the paper and actually looking at the results that came out with voter-verified paper ballots. So delighted to see that we're at this point where auditing and risk-limiting audits in particular are way up at the top of the list. So I think it's critical that we do that. I've done one in Boulder County with Hillary Hall. Thank you, Hillary, for supporting the first risk-limiting audit in the state of Colorado, and really one of the first in the world, one of the best. And also with Matt Crane in Arapahoe County. So it's really critical that we get hardware that supports what we have to do in just another 2 years by law in Colorado. So thanks for your questions about that. Thanks for getting the vendors to talk about that. And I really want to see how these system audits work. And so if you can share the schedule that we've got for that, invite people to come and get experience, I hope you all gather experience and see, okay, can we get exactly the evidence that you keep asking for that's important to getting confidence in the elections? Because that's so important. I also just want to say on a different topic, a couple of times the topic of internet voting came up. I don't know if people use that term because I think it's gotten the bad reputation that it deserves, but some other terms that go along with that. It is extraordinarily hard to do internet voting. I've worked with some of the top security experts in the world who came out with a report this year called the End-to-End Verifiable Internet Voting Report Feasibility and Assessment. It's a fantastic report. I recommend it to everyone. And they make the point that we don't have any systems today and nobody has a design for one that has been proven that is an accessible, verifiable, end-to-end election, which is a complicated topic to even define, but it's not just adding encryption to something that happens online. That leaves us in the same position we were at years ago when people voted on DREs and there was no voter verifiable paper ballot. And you just don't know what went across the wires if the voter doesn't get to see and verify a tangible piece of evidence that we can audit in a risk-limiting audit. So please, don't go there. There are some interesting technologies coming down the road that I'm working with, but they're nothing like what anyone was talking about today. They involve sending codes in the mail, in physical mail, that allow you to vote without the computer you're voting with knowing how it happens. It's a very different kind of technology. So please pay close attention to that and don't back away from evidence-based elections, which that would do. Great support to you as you try to pick a system that does support risk-limiting audits. I think it's critical and will put Colorado on the map for a long time when we pull it off, because major step forward, as so many folks have said. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Neil. Okay, final person on the list is Harvey Branscom. Before you start, Harvey, let me just answer Neil's question just so everybody is aware. We are conducting mock risk-limiting audits. It's not the full baby. These mock audits are to assess the ability of each of these voting systems to efficiently support a risk-limiting audit. It's kind of a narrower focus. We are doing a mock risk-limiting audit in one of the pilot counties for each system, and just so you know the dates, we will be in Adams County on November 18th. We will be in, and Adams County is a clear ballot county. We will be in Denver, which is a Dominion county, on November 19th. And I'm sorry, my schedule doesn't have the times for those, but we'll get that out there so everybody knows. Then we are going to Jefferson County, which is an ESNS pilot county, on November 20th. And then finally, Garfield County, on which is Hart Verity County, on November 23rd. I know that Jefferson County is starting at 9. I know that Garfield County is starting at about 11, not before 11. And I will get you the times for Adams and Denver. So just so everybody knows. Thanks. Harvey, please.
Right. Harvey Branscom from Eagle County. Teek's my county clerk. And I keep hearing about Boulder and Arapaho doing risk-limiting audit. Actually, Eagle County did as close as we could get to a risk-limiting audit about that same time by matching up cast vote record or cast vote records, VVPATs to the cast vote records off the Hart system. So what's happened today has been something I've been waiting for a long time. And I want to ditto what Neil McBurnett said. The concentration on transparency here is fantastic. And as you all probably know, I'm actually participating in my own pilot of the transparency, which is to actually CORA request the voted ballots. And I've already determined that in a few counties, it's very affordable. And in a few other counties, it's not affordable for me. So I've rewritten my CORA request to limit to a particular contest and only ask for a few hundred ballots, with the hope that these new systems will actually conveniently supply a subset of the election images and cast vote records that will not cost me a lot of money. And the reason why it's costing me a lot of money right now is because of the cost of preparation for possible redaction for identifiable marks. And it's my hope that the counties will, once they adopt these new systems, or even if they don't, they will put into their system the methodology for removing the identifiable marks as early as possible in the process, so that the risk to the voters doesn't exist for the election officials themselves who handle these records before they get it's noticed that they have identifying marks and then released to the public, redacted, released to the public. There are several things here I heard that are really interesting to point out. One of them is about duplication. I've realized that duplication is a bad idea, and electronic adjudication is beginning to replace and eliminate almost all of duplication, and that's a fantastic thing. Duplication involves reading a ballot and understanding what's on the ballot, and then writing a ballot again, and then machine counting a ballot again. So there are three possible places where error could actually be introduced in that sequence. And when we don't do duplication, we do electronic adjudication, there's only one place where that could happen. So it's a great improvement. ESNS hasn't quite got there yet. Sounds like they are going to be there soon. And on the other hand, we've heard a couple of times that duplication sounds like the solution to a privacy issue, which comes up when you have people voting in person on a different format ballot. I'm so impressed to hear Hart say they will not do that. That's not what they think should happen. All the ballots should look the same format, and I agree, because particularly in our state where we have vote centers and mail-in ballots, any given stack of ballots is likely to have all kinds of precincts in it, more precincts than there are in the pile of ballots probably, and each one is identifiable if it is a weird format that allows it to be noticed as a unique one. So we need the ballots to look the same. And I hope that all the vendors are thinking about migrating their systems towards that, uniform, like Hart said. And Clear Ballot also allows for this. They don't necessarily promote it. Hart is promoting it, actually. Also about the single ballot cast vote record, I heard a couple of instances where companies were talking about the picture of the ballot being the cast vote record. That's not good enough. It's great if you're looking at that ballot, that's the ballot you want to look at, and you believe that that image is the one that matches the paper ballot. But all that has to be true. The problem, and at least one of these vendors is solving this problem, that the cast vote record's got to be machine readable so you can add up all the cast vote records and see if they add up to the election. That's the other part of the risk-limiting audit. It's somehow being glossed over when you, if you think that the image of the ballot and the written candidate names at the bottom is all you need. That's not all you need. You need to be able to digitally recognize what the vote choices are and add them all together. And you don't want to do that by hand. That would take forever. And you have to do it for the whole election. So I think that's all I wanted to cover. I'm so really fantastic to hear what the companies have to say, how much they're focused on transparency. And we're on the edge of the possibility of candidates, campaigns, parties, election quality advocates like myself actually reconfirming and adding to the accuracy of the election by virtue of getting access to anonymous images of ballots, cast vote records, and doing our own evaluation, informing the election officials, the canvas boards, and the auditors of the potentially misadjudicated ballots, and actually improving our election each time so that we get an accurate result and an accurate outcome. The risk-limiting audit gets us to the accurate outcome. Of course, both of those are fantastic things to do, and we're leading the country on this, and the rest of the country is watching us. And let's keep going. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Harvey. Before we adjourn, let me just do a quick recap of our upcoming meetings. We will be sending out notices of this next week. Our next meeting is December 4th, and boy, do we have a lot to cover. I was hoping it would be a couple of hours, but I think it will be longer. But we want to invite representatives of pilot counties to come and tell us about their experience during the pilot elections, and then also give us a brief opportunity to pepper you with a few questions. We will compile the in-person voter evaluations, the supervisor judge evaluations, and the pilot county evaluation forms. All of that will be posted on our website. The compilations will be available, and we'll discuss those at the next committee meeting. The other big task that we need to address is the cost information, which we have now received. We need to compile that in a way that we're comparing apples to orange, or apples to apples rather than apples to oranges. That sounds easier than it actually is. So we'll be working on that in the next week. And then we will be conducting these mock risk limiting audits all before the December 4th meeting. The voting systems team is going to go to each of the pilot counties. Whoever wants to attend those is welcome. The voting systems team will be preparing a report. We will post that in advance, and members of the public can comment, agree, disagree, what have you. But we want to report to you on what at least we're seeing as far as these systems' ability to support an efficient risk-limiting audit. So those are the big topics for the December 4th meeting. The meeting after that will be on the following week, December 11th, we will be reviewing any additional information that we obtain on December 4th. Another topic we may have to discuss is, I think there will undoubtedly be follow-up questions for each provider that the committee wants to kind of zero in on, and we would want the providers to give us their responses by December 11th. So December 11th is where we consider everything, and I think the committee needs to take a vote on what is going to be our recommendation to the secretary. And then we have tentatively scheduled a meeting for December 14th. The committee will vote on December 11th. I and my team will work that weekend to put that recommendation into writing. And the meeting on the 14th, if necessary, would be for the committee to simply approve the written recommendation to the secretary. And as of December 14th, the committee's work is basically done. We will deposit this in the lap of Secretary Williams on December 15th, which is the deadline that we've been working against. And the secretary will make a decision on or before December 31st. So that's going forward. All of that will come out in public notices, but I just wanted everyone to know.
Dwight, this is Steve Renault. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but thinking outside the box, we have a very diverse group here, and every individual has their own opinions about things. In the voting process here, are we going to go with a majority vote to the recommendation to the Secretary Williams?
Well, we've never expected unanimity. I think, you know, hopefully the committee can reach a consensus. If not, if we have factions, then that's what we'll tell the secretary. I don't want to pigeonhole any portion of the committee into anything. We'll try to get to a consensus if we can. If not, we'll give him a majority recommendation. Whoever is in the minority can write their own, you know, kind of dissenting opinion or minority recommendation.
Hopefully not. Antique. Simonton. And I would hope that if the recommendations of the committee are something other than what ends up being adopted, that there will be some explanation for that, and that our recommendation will be made public or allowed to be known?
I think our recommendation, once we finalize it, it'll be posted, period. It'll be known, and just knowing Secretary Williams, if he disagrees or deviates, he will not hesitate to share his reasons why. Okay.
Is that it?
I believe so.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and spending your whole day with us. We are adjourned.
Thank you all.